Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council work session tonight, April 13th, 2009. And we appreciate everyone being here and to work with us and this evening. We have one issue on our work session, and that is a request for parkway cut-throughs, two of them, by St. John's Methodist Church. Mr. LaDuke, would you like to...
Certainly, and Larry Morris, I'll call on him in just a minute to confirm some of this, to speak more about it. But St. John's has asked that a couple of cut-throughs be installed across one on Newberry Street near Richland Avenue, another one on Chesterfield Street near Barnwell, to facilitate traffic coming and going to the church so that it would not have to cross through the intersection at Richland Avenue. When we checked our records over the last several decades to see how many cut-throughs we have created versus how many we removed, we could not find one where we created a new cut-through. Doesn't mean we shouldn't consider it at times, but we have closed up several of them. They brought their request to the Parks Commission. The Parks Commission reviewed it and unanimously voted not to approve it from their level. So they have now come to City Council asking that you would consider their request for cut-throughs on those two, through those two parkways to avoid some of the traffic having to go through the Richland Avenue area.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a representative from the church? I didn't recognize anyone. Okay. They were going to try to have someone here. Okay, Council, it's up to us to discuss this and make a decision.
And just so you know, we did call the church, spoke to Harry Sampson, who wrote the letter. He said he could not make it tonight, but he was going to try to get someone else to come. So we said, you know, we couldn't cancel this meeting at this last moment, so he is aware that we were going to hold this tonight.
Okay, sir. Any discussion? Well, I guess before discussion, we would like to have a motion and a second, since this is an issue we're voting on, and then we can have discussion.
It's a work session, isn't it? Isn't it?
We're discussing it. We're not voting on this.
Yeah,
that's right. It is. So we don't need a motion and second. You're absolutely right. Thank you.
I'm learning. That's why I go to that school.
Mr. Mayor, I thought the comments reading the minutes of the Parks Commission were helpful, and I do see where it may look to be convenient to have a cut-through, but I don't know. I drive there every Sunday morning, and it's not intolerable, and it would also take some parking spaces away, actually, to have those cut-throughs. And I think slowing down traffic actually is a good thing, and I don't know where we'd stop when First Presbyterian wanted to cut through or somebody else wanted to. I mean, it would be a hard thing to say, yes, you need two, but you don't need any. That's my feeling, and mainly because these good people on the Parks Commission who work for the big bucks have entertained these kind of motions over the years and I think have more perspective than I do on this.
Right. Jane, I agree with you. I don't think it's too much to have to go, you know, a couple of few feet out of your way. We have a lot of places like that that we just can't. Once we start, you know, where do you stop? That's a question.
I also do that drive, and I just don't think that it should be done.
It was brought to you at the work session tonight that if you wanted to take it to the next level at the next meeting, we would vote on it. But if it's not of interest to you, then we certainly would not put it on the next agenda. So it's Mr. Dewar said, it's not something we're going to vote on during the work session at this point in time.
That's right.
I'm not sure we have a consensus to do anything with the issue other than finish our discussion and move on.
Any Any other feelings on it? Okay, well, I would say from what I've heard that this will not be supported. Anybody feel differently? I mean, the question is, do we move it forward? Do we move it forward to the agenda? And I don't hear anyone saying we should move it forward to the agenda.
I'd like to have some public input with some of the folks.
Is anyone in the audience would like to voice an opinion on this? You certainly may do so. We were hoping to have a representative here to support their cause, but I guess for whatever reasons that couldn't be done. Okay.
Do we know exactly where they wanted to cut through, whether it was closer to...
That's right. They have a map here.
Yeah.
Okay. It's in the packet.
I didn't see. Where did I was on my computer, so.
Should be to his front.
Yeah, I see it.
On Newberry Street, they wanted it right close to Richland Avenue. And then on Chesterfield, it would be right opposite their parking lot. You know, and we never did discuss the amount of money it would cost to put these in. You know, like who would pay for it if we decided to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you would be talking tens of thousands of dollars.
You know, if council agrees not to move it forward, as Mr. LeDuc has already mentioned, that doesn't mean there might not at some point in time be some reason to do this.
Yeah. They can always bring it up again, can they not? Yeah,
sure.
Yes.
And I would think that it would probably be some type of a safety issue or maybe heavy traffic type issue or something like that, which I don't see this being the case, personally, either one of those things. So, okay, not hearing that we want to move this forward by anyone, much less four. I guess it's an issue. It dies without moving it to the agenda for a vote. Is that proper, Mr. Attorney?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's the only item we had on our work session. And I think it's appropriate to wait till 7, since that was the advertised time for our meeting, our council meeting. For the agenda item, so we'll just wait a few minutes here until the clock strikes 7.
On a subject you probably don't want to hear about, that's concerning crepe myrtles.
My favorite.
You mean your email wasn't enough?
My favorite tree.
So I sent all of you an email later this afternoon describing the fact that we even caught ourselves late last year and brought to the attention of our public safety director that some of our firemen trimmed our crepe myrtles at station number 2 excessively. And it's also very clear that a number of citizens, and maybe some of us even in this room here, trim our crepe myrtles lower and some of our other trees we tend to cut down excessively. But it's also very clear in our zoning ordinance, and the email that you got gives the ordinance number. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it describes that all these trees should go to its full growth, a natural condition. If you want to know what that looks like, you could certainly go along in front of Virginia Acres of what the crepe myrtles should look like. The ones in front of this building have never been cut. And it's then also specifically said they should not be cut down to a nub or a height that could cause a problem. We probably go ahead and send out up to 10 letters every year warning businesses that have cut the shrubbery or trees excessively. And then we have probably about another 8 to 10 where we have this very case where we have to tell them to replace some of these trees because of the way they've been cut. we have tried through just about every year that I can remember, the Aiken Standard has had an article in there concerning the cutting of crepe myrtles and other trees. The last 5 years, we've had an article in the Aiken Report that we send out in our newsletter. We have sent a letter out to all the landscapers in the past. And over the last 5 years, on the plans that, like shops at Brookhaven, on the plans itself that the developer follows and that are given to the owner, there's a statement there about cutting the trees and how they should be cut and telling them that. And we'll continue. I'm going to be meeting with Ed and Ed Evans and Larry Morris about this, and we're going to be discussing, is there a better way to getting that information out? But it's either we follow the regulations or we don't follow the regulations. And if you all want to change it, we certainly are open to that, and we can discuss that further. But it's probably going to be an ongoing issue in some cases. But we have more than just the honey bake, the honey ham, and the shops at Brookhaven that have had the situation in the past. So I just want you to be aware of that, because I'm pretty sure I know what the headlines are going to be tomorrow that talks about the city cutting their crepe myrtles, an unfortunate situation that we had. We have taken away all the pruners and loppers and saws from public safety because of that. I wish Pete was here so I could look at him directly, but he's not. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. But I'm sorry about the incident, because we don't want that. We want to work with our businesses the best way we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My concern was the communications factor here, that do our businesses understand this? Should we give them a letter every year reminding them? Just to do it once might be not good enough when they put them in initially. I understand that they're notified at that point in time how to cut them or not how to cut them. But then thereafter, if they don't read the newspaper or get something on a routine basis, maybe they forget something as important as this to us. And especially if it's going to mean them taking these out of the ground and putting new ones in. Some of those already have green leaves coming out. That's what I wonder if we can do. Somehow we can.
And that's one of the reasons that Ed and Larry and I are going to be talking about this on Wednesday. And we're going to sit down and see, is there a better way that we can inform our businesses? And, maybe we can start getting their email addresses to inform, because I know that Chamber of Commerce does a lot of emailing. I prefer to do that than sending out a letter that by the time you get the postage and the work that gets involved in sending out a letter, it could become costly. But I'd rather do that, Mayor, than to have that kind of an article in the paper every year.
Do we have to
whatever it takes
have them replace these immediately?
Well, if it's an area that's irrigated, it could be replaced immediately. And again, we have probably about 10 locations where we say you're not supposed to do that, you're not supposed to trim them, but they haven't cut them so severely that they can't recover in some manner. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, when I looked at them, they were about 4 feet high. Maybe they had to cut them down too. So it was pretty severe.
The area of concern that I get is not so much focused on crepe myrtle, but where folks are trying to enter or cross a highway. And because of our, I don't want to say lack of pruning, but not pruning enough. Mm-hmm. And it's a safety concern for those folks. And we're in a municipality or town where we have more seniors who get a bit stressed when they're trying to cross these highways anyway.
Yes.
And where they're trying to see around the azaleas, the beautiful azaleas that we have, and they're blown out of control. So that's the concern that that I get a lot of.
And some have, and this is mainly, we get most of our complaints on Richland Avenue. As you're going across Richland Avenue, especially Morgan Street, a lot of times, I try to drive them. And one of the problems we have is, bless their hearts, Tom Rapp will get in his pickup truck, and he's up around 2 feet higher than I am in my little car, and he could see around it fine, doesn't understand what the problem is.
That's
and
right.
Like you said, you get a person who's maybe only 5 foot tall and is in a lower car, and there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see those situations, when you hear people talk about them, please give us those locations. We try to trim them ahead of time, but this time of the year especially, they grow very rapidly, and we always don't get every one, and it is a serious concern,
mm-hmm.
and one that we try to stay on top of.
Yeah, I would agree. I've had several complaints just about that, and it puts a stress on the driver.
Yes, it does.
Quite frankly, and given that we know the intersections, I sure wish we could come up with a more proactive program.
And we are taking out some of the trees and shrubs. I know we're limbing up. There's a holly that, unfortunately, hollies are not supposed to be limbed up, but in this case, we did one very close to your church,
mm-hmm.
and limbed up a holly on Kershaw Street at Richland. And but again, when you see those or you hear about those, just send me an email, and we'll get those taken care of immediately.
Can I bring up another subject? I noticed that I've received several emails, and I've read a lot of literature recently about, because of the Stimulus Act, that there are new tax withholding tables that are required to be used. It was originally designed to be used for people that are working, but it's also applying to everybody, including retirees and so forth. And all it does is take less money out of a paycheck, and I think we've probably all seen our take-home adjusted a little bit, but it hasn't cut the tax. And it just puts people in a real bind so that they haven't had as much withholding as they have in the past, but they're going to pay up at tax time and maybe find themselves in a bind. I don't know if it applies to how it applies much to the workers and the city, but the withholding is going to go down, but the tax isn't going to change yet anyway.
That's pretty well correct.
So unless
everybody's been getting other $5 to $10 in their paycheck,
yeah.
every week,
which means in a given a week, if you're talking about $10, that's $520 that they're going to have to pony up out of their pocket next year at tax time. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I've had to adjust my retirement pay as well.
You'll have two issues on your agenda next time that are going to be in a work session format. One, I've been in discussions with a couple of council members about transparency in government, and we've checked a couple of websites of some people who have attempted it. We don't think they've done a very good job, that if we're going to get involved into it, we feel we could do it fairly well and get probably 70-80% on every invoice that's sent out, and can do it in about an hour's time. There's a few things when you start writing checks because of drug money and credit cards, and you know it's got some information that we really don't want to get out there, but we think we could. It's not a requirement, but it's something that people are looking to try to work with, so we're going to give you some thoughts on that, and if you'd like us to go forward, we can. The other thing is we are going to have the Whitney Trust, who owns Whitney Field, where the major polo matches are held and soccer tournaments are held, Bluegrass Festival, a number of events, come to us and asking for some tourism dollars. And this year ends our final obligation, and so we'll be talking a little bit more about that and some thoughts they have. And it'd be for bricks and mortars type things at that field. So that we'll be having a work session on that next time.
Do we do tourism dollars on bricks and mortars?
Yes. That's the ATAX money that we get in, the 3%. We try to take about half of it. That's the money that was used for the Railroad Depot and the African American Cultural Center.
I didn't think that was on bricks and mortar. So,
that was $360,000 for one and $250,000 for the other. We gave the Aiken Center for the Arts several hundreds of thousands of dollars through that same fund.
Well, it's tourism related, but all of these have to be checked through the state, do they not?
This one, they generally do not audit it, although they could. There are very specific criteria that the legislation says it could be used for. We can't just use it for general fund. Mm-hmm. It has to be used for some tourism related, and certainly giving money to various folks that are creating or helping with tourism is very legitimate.
Okay. Well, it is 7 o'clock now, a little past, as a matter of fact, so we'll begin our meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you being with us this evening for our Aiken City Council meeting on April 13th, 2009. And as we go through our agenda, if you desire to speak on an issue, you certainly may do that. Just let us know. Just raise your hand and let us know. At the appropriate time, we'll allow you certainly to voice your opinion on whatever it may be. As we begin our meeting, if you would, stand with us for our prayer and our pledge of allegiance.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to you today, we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts for your love, your mercy, your blessings that you extend to us, Father. We're so undeserving. Father, we thank you for this great community in which you've allowed us to be a part of. Father, we thank you for our citizens and their willingness to volunteer of their time, Lord, to make this a better community. We thank you for the ones who serve on our boards, on our commissions, and give unselfishly of themselves. Father, we thank you for our residents who come out and voice their opinions. And Father, we pray tonight as we debate these issues that you would give us, Lord, openness of mind. Father, that you would allow us to see both sides of each issue. And Father, help us to do what's right for this city and what's right for the citizens of this community. Father, we just pray that everything that's done in this meeting will bring honor and glory unto you. We ask these things in him whose name is above all names. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's not on our, it's not written on our agenda, but we need to approve the agenda for the meeting. Is anything that we need to add or delete? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Okay, passage unanimously. We have a presentation as our first item. We're always happy to have presentations for people who've done something very worthy. And so, Mr. LaDuke, if you would introduce this.
Yes, I'd like to call Pete Frommer up the front, and I'm going to let him make the presentation. But again,
we're going to do that.
Okay, we have a great opportunity that tonight to recognize three of our public safety officers who day in and day out are just giving of themselves to protect this community and have just done a tremendous job. One of the measures that you could look at as far as how well we're doing as a department and in our enforcement actions is looking at the number of fatalities that we have in our community. We never want to have any, but a couple of years ago we had six, and this past year, due to what I feel is a lot because of these three gentlemen, we had zero last year. And so with that, I'd like to have Pete just go ahead and tell us all about this.
Roger. Just wanted to make sure and come by tonight and let you know we went to a meeting in Columbia in March put on by the Department of Public Safety, State Department of Public Safety, and we were presented the award for Agency of the Year. because of the efforts in our traffic enforcement. As Roger said, for years and years we'd have maybe one or two fatalities, and it seemed like there for several years it was increasing until the year before last it was six. And with the effort of these officers, they reduced them to zero. But also the severity of accidents we are now having in Aiken, we are reducing those also. So I wanted to introduce our traffic unit, Chris Carter, and if you will come this way, Chris, Jason Griffin, and Chris Hamill. These, amongst other duties, these officers they make up our traffic enforcement. And of course, they spend a lot of time out there educating the public, civic groups, churches. They go to the schools, so they spend a lot of time educating. But also, they're good at their jobs. They also kind of do education programs with the officers in the department. But they're good enough when they stop people, too. They educate people. You know, they're not out there just writing tickets. They're spending time and taking the time and explaining to the drivers what an unsafe act they did, and doing it in a very professional manner. So there again, I just wanted to let you know this new award and introduce these three officers and let you know they are truly professional and they do a great job for the city of Aiken.
Okay, Pete, we'd like to shake hands with these gentlemen. This is a wonderful thing you've done here. And, just keeping us safe, that's what we want.
Yes, sir.
Keeping
us
citizens safe. Thank you.
And of course, I think a lot of members on council, you're always asking for traffic surveys and traffic counts and stuff.
Right.
These are you folks that do it.
Right. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, please. I know you will.
You all could stay if you want, or if you want to go back out, you could do that too. We'll be here for another 3 or 4 hours, so feel free to stay.
Didn't take much convincing, did it?
The next item on our agenda, and I think I've got a little bit different than some may have, but is the minutes. It's approval of consideration of the minutes of the budget work session and the work session and regular meeting of March 23rd, 2009. Do we have any discussion necessary on those? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, move for adoption of the minutes of the work session and the regular meeting.
Okay.
Second. Point of order. There's two work sessions.
There's the budget work session and then the one.
So you mean both?
Both. Yes.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under old business, first item is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning of property on Silver Bluff Road from residential multifamily low density to general business. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by Silver Bluff Associates from residential multifamily low density RML to general business GB. This was brought before you a couple of months ago, and I know there's been question as to why we are bringing it back. So that is due to the fact that at the work session that we held about a month ago, you asked for more information, and they came back with the fact that the 5+ acres of property behind the area that they're talking about rezoning would be donated to the city. I know I asked Larry Morris to walk this area because there's some questions on drainage. He did, and the drainage problems that we saw are coming from a business that's in the county, not on the property that's in the city. And I know there's some questions on that if they're is drainage problems on the city portion, then certainly if the city owned it, we could take care of that in a very quickly. As far as additional trees, if trees are going to be planted back there, they could not be planted until the planting season, which would be later this year, normally November, December. So the question tonight before you, the developer and owner of the property, Neil Farfour, would like to go ahead and ask for the rezoning of that front portion, as he did a couple of months ago, under the GB status. All the same conditions would apply as before. In exchange for this, he would go ahead and donate to the city of Aiken the 5-plus acres of land behind it, so that that would never be able to be built on in the future, because the city would own it. And I would recommend, if you do decide to move forward with this, that the city, once they did own the property, they would apply for rezoning of that to open space, so that it would stay open space forever and the citizens would be guaranteed that it would never be built on. I asked Mr. Evans if, under the RML classification, if they wanted to build on that land, how many units could they put back there, and depending on the roads and how much they needed for storm drainage, around 50 to 60 units could be built on that property. So this is before you tonight for consideration. One of the individuals who was very concerned about this and lived right at the corner of Oriole and this property did send you a letter with her concerns, and you had that in your package tonight from Patsy Bickley, who stopped by and said she was going to be out of town and could not be here. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to rezone property on Silver Bluff Road across from Hamilton Drive from residential multifamily low density to general business. Upon City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing will be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any comments from Council before we ask the public if they would like to speak?
Well, only to clarify, the issue is before us tonight because after having been disapproved, the developer has asked us to consider another offer, and the council agreed to do that.
That is correct.
Yeah, it wasn't that we asked for more information.
That is correct. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Right.
And he added that very different addition, I mean, the wonderful addition, that he would donate the 5 acres of green
correct.
Space to the city of Aiken.
If he had not done that, then we would not be talking about it again tonight.
That's right. So that's one of the main reasons we are considering it again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anyone from the audience like to speak on this issue?
There were some, Mr. Mayor, that had some questions regarding taxes, whether the taxes would go up.
On their property?
On their property, and whether there was going to be a cut through, and I told them that there would not be any cut through from Silver Bluff over to Oriole to create any.
The only way that there could be a cut through would be if it remained under its current zoning, then they certainly could have a road going from Silver Bluff over to Oriole. If the city owned it, we would not allow any roads in there under the open space. As far as taxes are concerned, it's a debate. I feel that open space makes a property more valuable because you always know that the area behind you will always be a green area. But I have not seen, we do not assess the property. That is usually not part of the assessment process when it's being evaluated by the county. They do it basically on the square footage of the home and the value of the property that the home is on. So I would not foresee that the property values would go up. I would certainly envision, though, they wouldn't go down. If any way, it would make it, should be easier to sell the property because it's open space behind you, not a zone for apartments.
Yes, sir.
My name is Joe Perotti and live on Oriole Street, an interested party into the activity that's going on in our area. I'm here tonight. I've been here for several meetings we had before this to tell you what our problems are down there and how we'd like to have you look at them. But now Pat Bickley has written you all a letter, and I understand you all have a copy of it. And she wanted to make sure that she's really influenced very strongly by the activity of what's going on there, along with other people on Oil Street, but that she walked out to her backyard after the first rain a couple of weeks ago, and she's walking in ankle-deep water. Therefore, it doesn't seem plausible that that acreage back there that's in the valley can't do anything but fill up with water. And as you're going to change it probably to the general business, and we put up another building, then we'll pave all that land, we will lose the benefit of another whole big lot of area that would absorb the water that's going to fall on by Mother Nature. That whole area has been paved and repaved, and now it's nothing but a water chute. When the rains goes down into the valley, into the land in between, and it will fill up and become a mire for everyone. I'm not so much against Neil Farfour getting his land, but I am against spoiling the land back there and creating a real bad situation for the neighbors and all that. And I do believe that the city is going to have a big problem with water and with drainage. And if you accept the land from Neil that he's offered, then it's going to be your responsibility to face up to what can be done in the future with the problems that are going to be resulting from the drainage, from all the businesses on Silver Bluff. I mean, you can't pave sidewalks, driveways, parking spaces, and then have it rain and not expect the water to sit there and be absorbed. The water's going to run. It's going to run into the space that's left, and there isn't any space that's left. So I'm here just to let you understand that we got a problem, and I thank you for letting me speak.
Please, Joe.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Joe.
If we could, to answer those questions that the gentleman had, Larry Morris walked back there right after that same rain, the entire property, and he is a stormwater expert on this area, and I'd love to have him his opinion as to the problems that are back there, if there are any, and what he's seen and what we may need to do to correct it, if anything.
Thank you, Mr. LaDuke. I did walk the property after the last rain and did not see evidence of flooding several feet deep.
Larry, the last rain...
Not today.
Right. About a week and a half or 2 weeks
ago. About a week and a half, two weeks ago is when I walked the property.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. I walked it too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The homes, by and large, are several feet above the lower part of the valley, with the exception of one that has like a walkout type basement. And it is closer. Without actual surveying, I don't know the difference in elevation, but the majority of the homes are many feet higher than the part down in the valley. I did not see evidence of several feet of flooding in there. I do not doubt Ms. Bickley did walk out and get into some water in her backyard. I don't doubt that. But her house is the first house. There is no discharge near her house. The discharges are all downstream from her house. Therefore, I walked downstream to see if there was an area that had backed up that could have put water up into that area. What I found was that the Autotech, which is in the county, and it is next to what is now Berry Pool, which is also in the county. Berry Pool and Autotech property goes all the way back to the homeowners that are on the little cul-de-sac that comes off of Oriole. So there's no property there that would be given to the city. But what I found was Autotech's storm water basin had breached. There was no detention whatsoever. That water was flowing directly out and was getting into kind of forming a blockage there between it and where Barry's pool was. And so definitely there's some water that could back up in there. I don't doubt that whatsoever. There has been a road cut through. The neighbors are very correct. There's been a road cut through from Old Town Road through the Barry Pool property up to the Auto Tech property, and cars are being stored down below where you see them from the actual parking area behind the building. So there are cars there. I did look where the neighbors had told us that there were goats, and there's quite a bit of trash, trees, things like that down that would also cause a problem. That property also is owned all the way back to the property owners on Oriole. It is also a county property. For several years, and when I say several, about 15 years, Mr. Farfer and I both have approached the property owners down there to get easements to bring a sanitary sewer and a storm sewer up through that ravine, just because of the problems that I'm telling you about and that the neighbors have told about. We have two holdouts. They just will not talk to us to allow us to go up through there with these improvements. I did talk to DHEC about the stormwater pond there from Auto Tech, and about the fact that they are dumping large pieces of asphalt and other materials there over the back of their bank, and whether or not that's approvable by DHEC, I do not know. That's why I contacted them to ask them to look into it. As that material, if they keep dumping that material to flatten that out, then not only will they form a dam, but they'll form a dam that will be many feet deep with water that would come on the property that Mr. Farfer is talking about and would very possibly backwater up into Ms. Bickley's residence. So that is a great concern that we should have, and one that I do have DHEC working on.
Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
If by chance we do take over the property, would there be anything you could do as far as working with the county property owners to get them to correct some of the things that are going wrong back there at this point?
They won't even talk to me about an easement to cross the property, let alone work with us. So we have not had a lot of luck down in that area whatsoever.
Okay, so if we leave it alone, would it be better or worse? I mean, just tell me what who is stronger to do something about this?
DHEC.
DHEC
is the key, and like I say, I did report that to them and met with them last Thursday, and I received a message today that they have one of their engineers who is a stormwater enforcement officer looking into the problem for us.
To answer your question, if we own that property, we'd be the injured party in this case, and we could go ahead and take action in court if we had to. If we don't own the property, then we can't do anything about it other than report it to the state.
Correct.
I guess that's my concern, is that I did go back there today, this afternoon, and I did talk with some of the neighbors, and I think it's Wren Place, the place right off of off of Oriole.
Yes.
And you can stand in their backyard. You can see the privacy fence that they built, but you can see that there's been something, that they've been doing something back there that maybe they should not have been doing. And I think that maybe we need to pressure, and I don't know how we quite do that, Roger, but we need to do something as far as getting DHEC to do something, no matter who takes over the property.
And again, I have met with DHEC. I know personally the engineer that's been assigned to it, and we'll be working with him to see what they can do. The problem is that their enforcement actions are very slow, very slow. It may take them 6 months to a year before they can ever really get any action from the homeowners. Again, if we could get two easements, we would not be having the discussion. I can run stormwater pipe, and I can also run sanitary sewer up through there. It's just, and I think Mr. Farfer can back me up on that. There were two the last time I checked.
The dog place in Barry's Pool. Barry's Pool wasn't involved in it. There was another owner. There was piano people. But AutoCAD did sign for it to go back to the property.
So they finally signed.
I got them to sign.
So,
but I couldn't get the dog place.
So we are down to two then. Well, there were three, but we're down to two.
And how does this line up with the property in question here tonight, the lot that we're looking at rezoning?
The sewers that I could run, and by the way, they are designed. We've had those designs done for several years and on the shelf, trying to get the easements. The sewers would run back along that rear property line and would be a connection for the septic tanks that those businesses have currently. All but I think one of them are on septic tank, and possibly two. The lamp place, and I believe Sherwin-Williams are on sewer. The others through there are all on septic tank. So that becomes an issue for us also. Not that it would affect our property, but if the AutoTech people do continue to dump and DHEC cannot stop that, then that's certainly going to be a problem with the septic systems there also.
Larry, has county have any control if so?
I have not contacted the county. That's UD. And in UD, if you look at the county designation UD, you can do just about anything you want to in UD. There's very
great... Including build a dam or cause a dam to back up water on other properties?
Well, again, as Mr. LeDuc says, the owner of that property, if AutoTech did dam it up and did cause water damage, and not just the wooded area, but the residents along Oriole, then, you know, certainly I would say they would need to go to an attorney and see what legal action could be taken. And I'll defer to Mr. Smith on that one. But if I recall, you're not allowed to dam water up and just flood your neighbor out.
You can take action to protect your own property so long as that action doesn't impact a neighbor. And it sounds like what Larry's talking about is actually having an impact on a neighbor. And if you do that, then you've done something you're not supposed to be able to do, and that does create a civil action.
And from what I saw, it wasn't a fact of the AutoTech trying to protect their property. They were just trying to make more parking area from what I saw being dumped.
Well, I see this as several options here. One is to do nothing, and to do nothing, the problem still exists. Mm-hmm. The second option is for council to consider this seriously, and if passed, we would own that area. It would be up to us, if there's flooding and there's problems, to go through whatever litigations or whatever it takes so that the neighbors will not be impacted, because we own the property. Am I right or wrong with that, Larry?
As Mr. Smith has explained, if the property is being negatively impacted by our downstream neighbors, mm-hmm. AutoTech, mm-hmm. then we would have a civil action cause against them. And I don't like to use the word condemn, but if we condemn two easements, I can put the pipe through.
Okay.
Then the problem is gone and over with. And I realize council does not want to condemn. I'm not
right.
suggesting that. I'm just saying that is another course of action. If we have to enter into a civil lawsuit, then certainly that would be another course of action that we could take.
Okay.
But if it's not our property, we could not do that.
Right.
Right. If it's not our property, our hands are pretty well tied.
Larry, am I correct in saying that the water that Mrs. Bickley has dealt with recently is, do I hear you correct, saying it's caused by the AutoTech malfeasance of some kind?
I'm not sure exactly why she's getting water in her yard. She is actually much higher than where the AutoTech is discharging. Their discharge is almost immediately adjacent to the Barry Pool property, which is adjacent to Old Town Road. And there is a good fall between there and that. So it's very possible that the area that I saw, for lack of a better term, that had a lot of jumbled trees and things where the goats are, you know, the old broken down trailers and the things like that. That could be causing some water to back up. I did not see evidence of 2 or 3 feet deep water.
Well, we're not talking about backing up because the goats are on one far end of the property and Mrs. Bickley is on the opposite end, I
Correct.
Think.
Right.
So it's highly unlikely, I would think, that the goats are causing the water. I walked the property. I didn't see any massive flow of water from one end to the other.
Correct. I did not either.
So I don't, can, from an engineering viewpoint, from a stormwater expert point of view, can you see any reason, any explanation for the water?
I'd have to get on her property and look at it, but I cannot at this point in time explain why she would have several inches of water in her backyard unless there's some low spots in her yard that the water coming off of her property is collecting in, and then after a day or so it's gone. We have areas like that all throughout the city
Sure.
where there are low spots in yards and you know, that we've dealt with before. Sometimes we can help, sometimes we can't.
Larry, it's interesting you raised that because I think that could be the case, one case. And from the view that I saw today, there was some water standing in her yard in the back area. And whether that is through the low spots, I don't know. I don't want to assess that, but that could be one of the problems contributing to her.
It could be concern. If you looked beyond her rear property line. Again, I did not see water, evidence of water standing in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't definitively say that anything there is causing her particular problem. That she has a problem, mm-hmm. I do not doubt. You know, I don't doubt that at all. But again, there are other areas in the city that I know when folks go out their front door, they're standing in ankle deep water. So that would just be something we would address on a case-by-case basis for her. At issue right now, in my opinion, is we need some way or another through working with DHEC or something like that to stop the problem that is developing very seriously at the Auto Tech spot. If they continue to fill, they will dam up that area.
But now that problem is going to result regardless of what happens to Mr. Farfer's land. I mean, that's existing and it has nothing to do with him or the land that he is asking to rezone.
That is correct. If they are not stopped, whether we own it or Mr. Farfer keeps control of it, that will still create a problem.
Now, can you see any adverse impact to the 5 acres, 5.2 acres, whatever it is, mm-hmm. or to Mrs. Bickley's property if the developer is allowed to build the structure that he wants on Silver Bluff to house whatever he's able to put in there?
From a storm drainage standpoint, I would not see a problem. We would work with him to make certain that his pond is properly sized and does not breach as the Auto Tech. And the term breach, as I'm using it, mm-hmm. the dam that Auto Tech built to create the pond has eroded to a point where the pipe just comes straight through. So we would work with the new building to prevent that. Now, to say that they wouldn't see the back of the building from their homes, I can't address that.
Okay. The proposal that we first saw has been expanded to the proposal we're seeing tonight in the sense that there is more property to the rear than there was in the beginning. It's almost like a sort of small sun, and before it was just straight out. And maybe I need to ask Mr. Farfer about that. But is that likely caused by the requirement for some type of drainage or stormwater action?
When I looked at it, that was my assumption. I have not seen an actual design on it, but that was my assumption. They needed that additional area for storm drainage.
Okay. Well, then, Mr. Farfer told me that, and I think this is true, that area has already been sold to someone else, that's an old map. Is that correct? Okay. And that this property that he's asking us to zone GB is rectangular. Am
okay.
I right?
Well, we'll have to wait for him to get up.
That's
because
right.
It's, I mean, his letter is dated April 7th, and I don't know why he would give us an old layout of the property, but I thought it was a new layout.
I have another question. If we zone this general business, then they will be connecting to city sewer, right?
I have no sewer right there. That is why I That's why I need those other two easements to bring a sewer up through there. They would have. They would end up with a septic tank right there.
Larry, why would they object to that? These two that are objecting. What's their rationale?
Over the years, and Mr. Farfer has dealt with them as have I. They just haven't wanted to talk to us about an easement. But no real reason. Just we do not want to give you an easement. It's our property. We don't want you there.
Sometimes they're holding out for things. Sometimes they just don't want to deal with government.
Sure. I just wondered if they had expressed any reason to you.
Mr. Farfer maybe, may have more information.
Yeah, so. maybe he knows. Any other questions of Larry?
This is a side question. Just is the auto place, are they shielding those junk cars the way there are those cars that they put back there the
no,
way they're legally supposed to according to state law?
I don't know how they, you know, what the state law would be right there, but I know if you come to the cul-de-sac and look, even standing in the cul-de-sac, you can very clearly see those cars back there from the cul-de-sac.
That's what I noticed too, and I just wondered.
The neighbor's property, it's almost a cleared area all the way up to the neighbor's fence from where they're storing the cars down in the lower part.
Yeah, this is on part of that 5 point acres.
Negative.
It's on their property.
It's on their property, which is toward Old Town Road from the 5 acres.
Back here. Okay, because when I walked it, I didn't see any junk cars, and I was wondering where in the world those cars were. I was not up high to look down.
I actually had to come in to see them. I had to come in from the Old Town Road end, and that's when I found the road they had cut in to bring them in. And found the gate into their property down there.
Okay, I didn't go down that particular road. Mm-hmm. I walked down the path from Oriole.
Right, you will not see them that way.
Right, right. Okay. Well, Larry, you started off by saying, giving the description of the land down there, and how it, of course, it is low in the center if you walk down, but then it goes up slightly. And I experienced the same thing when I walked it right after that rain as well. And I know Dick Smith walked it too. So we met each other out there. And I couldn't see. I was trying to visualize how in this world could water come down and then go back up in those yards. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it. I couldn't understand it. Furthermore, I think it was on a Saturday or Friday after the rain, and I didn't see any puddles. It was no worse than my yard where I walked, and I walked all the way over that place. I walked up close to those buildings and all the way over, and then back around and all the way back.
That is correct.
And I didn't see the puddling either. Now, maybe it's there and I just didn't see it, but I was there for 30 minutes or so and walking all over the area. And
a little mushy in a few areas where somebody had been throwing, I think, yard shrubbery and stuff down into it.
Right now, I think that there is an outlet for water coming through there, which flows more or less at the base of the fill that Autotech is doing, and the water does get out right there. Should that fill continue, then that's when the problem will develop.
Okay. Anything else?
Roger, may I ask you a question, please? If we were to go forward with this and the city were to wind up with this property, I understand from Larry Morris that this would then put us in a good position to do whatever necessary, even including litigation if necessary, to make sure that the adjoining properties do not, their water does not spill over into this. But apart from that, the enhancements that would need to be done on this 5.2 acres. Apart from that, if we were to accept this property and find out that there were some drainage issues, is that something we could deal with and deal with pretty quickly?
We can deal with that very quickly. And again, I go back to the easements that we need. I already have the design for the sanitary sewer on the shelf. It's ready to go. All we have to do is get permits. I do not need permits for a storm sewer, so that a storm sewer could be carried up through there at the exact same time as the sanitary sewer. There is a catch basin there on Old Town Road at the, let me call it the saddle of the road right there, the low point of the road that we would connect to, and we would size the pipe going up through the wooded area such that it would relieve the water flow, but it would not cause flooding in the Old Town Road area.
Okay. First, let me just
go ahead.
Give a little more of a take on that. We believe that if AutoTech takes care of their problem and does their drainage properly, there's probably no problem. So the first thing we will be doing is evaluating and getting AutoTech to do what needs to be done. If we still saw there was a problem, if the neighbors experienced a problem, then we'd go in there and do exactly what Mr. Morris is talking about. Even to the point if we had to condemn the property, we certainly could do that and be in a much stronger position since that we are the owners of the property. As far as the plantings, again, we could evaluate that and determine, do we need more plantings? If so, where should those plantings be? And getting the right types of trees in there. You don't want to get trees that if the lowest limb, like on you see on some water oaks, might be 15 feet up in the air, that's not going to provide the screen. And maybe it just needs to be more type of shrubbery that's going to stay green all year long and be more of a protection or buffer. And so that's going to have to be on a case-by-case to determine how much. Over a period of time, we've seen in areas when left on their own, the trees, the shrubs will start growing up. And so again, but we could start that this year if we need to go ahead and start planting stuff back there. Our intention is not to put any roads, not to do any clearing, not to do anything there unless we put in the storm drainage work. And that's why I'm somewhat reluctant to go ahead and that's our first action, because if we have to put storm water, then we have to take out more trees and material that's in there, which we want to add more, not take away more.
But if we would have to do that, it would be a temporary situation. We could then come back in and add the necessary foliage that we need to better insulate these residents from the commercial properties. Which,
and I understand that they were at one time talking about the noise coming from AutoTech. Again, they probably put up some kind of Leland cypress or some kind of material that is going to not only form a dense screen, but form some kind of a noise barrier back there too. But again, we would have to own the property before we'd be doing that type of work.
And if I may add, Mr. LeDuc, if you walk the area and look, there is an area down through there that is fairly open. A few small trees would be taken to install the sanitary sewer or if a storm drain was needed. But we would be able to twist around and not take any bigger trees. That would be our goal.
So pending the decision that the council, is this an assessment that would take 6 months, 3 months, 3 to 6 months? You said by the end of the year, but
the
assessment.
We're not going to plant any trees till the end of the year, because if you plant trees going into the summer, they'll die.
Yeah.
Unless you have irrigation. Our assessment would be, number one, sitting down with DHEC and making sure that AutoTech is dealing with their stormwater in the proper manner.
So that's the first?
That's the first thing.
Okay.
Then it's evaluating, do we need to do any stormwater work in there once that's completed? If it was going to be developed for housing, you certainly would need stormwater piping. You certainly would need sanitary sewer.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, case scenario, if all this is going to be as an office building, then it could be on a septic system like some of the other buildings along that area, and you wouldn't need to come through there at all. So that evaluation could take place over the next several months. We're not talking about years of evaluation, years of trying to get something resolved.
Okay.
And with the eyewitness accounts of counsel and myself, we're not seeing a major drainage issue there right now. And so I would not, sometimes a cure is worse than the problem. I would not want to jump in and start trying to cure something that's not necessarily a problem, again, based on eyewitness.
And spending the money.
And we potentially don't know how much money we might have to spend if we accept this 5.2 acres. We're talking potential litigation, potential condemnation. potential sewer and pipes and so forth on a worst-case basis? Can we get any estimate of how much it's going to cost us to accept this free piece of land?
Well, again, right now, we're up until this discussion started several months ago, we had no intention of putting any stormwater piping back in there unless a residential development was going to be going in there. So right now, I'd say, unless we could see that there's a problem once AutoTech deals with their issue, there would be $0 spent on stormwater. Worst case scenario, we would have to put some storm drainage pipe in there, and it would not have to be a large size. As far as sanitary sewer, again, it's going to be an evaluation on what type of building goes in there. If it's going to be the situation that Mr. Blocker was proposing previously, there's going to be very little water use, and a septic system would probably work very well there. But again, worst case scenario, if we have to go in there with a sanitary sewer because of the need for sanitation, that is paid for out of the fees that we get eventually from them, the water, the sewer tap, and the monthly fees that come forward. And we're talking in the tens of thousands of dollars, not the hundreds of thousands of dollars for both cases.
But if AutoTech and DHEC can't see eye to eye, and it's our land, and they're causing a problem, are we likely to want, I'm sure we would like be likely to litigate against AutoTech for causing damage?
Again, if the damage is caused, you know, into houses and causing property problems, then we could. But again, that's one of the reasons we have a solicitor or prosecutor here working on staff, and most of that would be handled in-house.
So you don't see a likelihood of any high litigation costs?
No, I do not.
Okay. Larry, question. Do you see any way in which that area back there, even though it comes down somewhat of a bowl, could not be leveled out to build apartments?
It could very easily be built on. A good example is the Steeplechase Apartments over near where I live. They are on a sloped area, much like that area. So, yes, that area is very buildable, especially from what I've seen, some of the woodside houses that are built on. The Steeplechase Apartments are that way.
Right.
I don't see any major problem at all with building in the area.
Right, okay. Okay. Let's see if there's anyone else that would like to speak in the audience. Thank you, Larry, very much.
Good evening again, and thank you again. My name is Gregory MacDougall at 6 Wren Place, and it's M-A-C again. And again, the property that we have is a little bit different than the others. It's the pie facing south on that Wren Street, and I think you walked in that neighborhood right there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you go right next door to Chuck and Rennell's house, you'll see those cars as plain as day. You can see them from our house, but the leaves are starting to come out, so it's not quite so bad. But again, I like the idea of the open space. I'd like to see the city move towards keeping this area. This, as we've mentioned, this whole row of houses right here, and this residential area right here, this acts as a very nice buffer. I was out there, over the week. We had school off, and the birds were chirping. I mean, it's just a nice home, and I'd like to keep it like that. And that's all I've been saying all along. I really deeply appreciate the quality of the questions that are going on here. Again, my situation may be a little bit different than, say, Pat's down here. I'm at 500 feet above sea level. There's a big, huge 60, 80-foot tree right in back of my house right there. And I would like to have as much woods here as much as possible. That has always been my contention since I came here beforehand. I mentioned that I did some work with open space planning in my younger days. I'm aware of what the city can do when it addresses these issues. And I would like to suggest that you move cautiously towards accepting this proposal because of the fact that I like to have this land as green space. I do not know what implications, I have not researched the implications for the front part of it. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for this spot right there and appreciate your efforts. And as you can see, there's a lot of things there. There's just a lot of things there. So that's my take on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
My name is James Meyer. I'm at 608. I'm between Ms. Bickley and a gentleman just spoke. I'm hearing some good things, but I just want to guarantee that we are going to continue with the green space, and if you do what you say you do, I may reconsider my thinking. But I don't want to do anything that's going to not please other neighbors. But for the green space, if you're going to do it, and not change your mind and do something different later on, that's my concern. We heard this was over with a few months ago. Now we're back up here again. So I'm not wishy-washy, and I hope you all are not wishy-washy. If the green space, you're going to do it right, we'll be pleased. But if you're not going to do it right, tell us, and if you know where we stand at. That's my concern.
James, we're going to do everything we say we're going to do, and you've heard us talk about this.
Yes,
we've been up here so many times talking about it.
Right.
We will do what we say we'll do. No question.
Is there a
about that? You can count on that.
If I may, one thing that may give you some
concern.
Some assurance. Yes, thank you. That. You know, the deed that's going to come from Mr. Farfour to the city is going to reflect that he is donating this land to the city to be used as green space. And if we use it for anything other than green space, we have to give the land back to him, and we would not be able to develop the land. So that should give you some assurance that the green space will stay. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Hi, I want to thank you all again for having me. My name is Amy Margaret MacDougall, and I live at 6 Wren Place. And I want to basically state what I did to you all before when I saw you a few weeks ago. I'm liking this proposal that we are seeing because, one, it protects my property value. It keeps the green space that we have reiterated. It sounds like, as a council, it's come up about the drainage. Being mindful of drainage if it becomes an issue. And I'm thinking the development, as we've seen with the shopping centers going up there right now, mm-hmm. is aesthetically pleasing for what Aiken wants to be and wants this city to look like. So with this all said, I think we don't look a gift horse in the mouth, and we need to accept this as green space.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Next. Is there a next? Okay.
Maybe Neil can say anything.
Neil Farfour. I'm one of the owners of the property in question. Again, I would like to thank you all. I'm sure you spent time and money going out and looking at this property, etc. And I really wanted it to be good also. And I did the same thing you all did. I walked it again, and I went to several of the people's houses and looked out their back doors. And one of them had a beautiful setting, a beautiful pool, and those leaves were so beautiful. And I like nature, always have. And I could see what they wanted, you know, and why they wanted it that way, and no apartments or anything else there. And I think it's reassuring that Larry looked at it and determined that, as we were saying, the water wasn't coming from our land, the extra water. That the retaining ponds are there on our land are okay. And probably some of the water that's coming from them could come from the street, Oreo, coming down through it. I don't know. But I just think that, you know, if it's not approved, then, you know, they say you can build 50 or 60 units there. It's fairly easy to build. I've already been contacted by somebody that would have an interest in building back there. I agreed to reduce the price quite a bit. If I don't do something with the front, I've got to do something with the back, and that's not my wish. Also, there would be the wildlife there. I mean, I actually saw wildlife, and I wasn't there at the house very long. And that would be protected. And if it doesn't go back to the city, you're still going to have the same water problem. And Larry and I have worked for a long time trying to get that fixed. He told me that there was a problem, and I went door to door with the papers and got everybody to sign the papers but two groups that they let it go through there. And one of the groups was the place that has the animal hospital there. And their problem was, so you'll know the problem, their property comes down like this and goes like that. And in the bottom, they wanted to put kennels. And they were worried after a line was put through there, if there was a problem, would their kennels be removed? And I told them normally a line like that, you hardly ever have any problems once it's in. And that it would make the property much more valuable if the people that bought it from them needed to hook into city sewerage. And at one time when we were talking about it, the people there wouldn't be forced to hook into it. That they would have the option, and whoever bought it could hook into it. At that time, impact fees and other things would be paid. Larry, I think I'm correct. There's already a right-of-way all the way through there. It's just not wide enough. Isn't that correct? There's not one already through there across the back line? Okay, I was wrong on that. There's some type of easement back there. So I'm proposing that we, you know, give a 300 to 350-foot buffer rather than 30 feet, which would be donating the back. And the proposed building, we don't know if it'll go there or not, but the plans you have show that their plans were to set it back about 50 feet. So that's over 350 feet. The water problems would be handled. It'd prevent any apartments or low-income housing back there. And it'd be consistent with the general businesses that are already on Silver Bluff. If you look from one stoplight to the next, everything in between there is general business. But one house, and it's being used for a rental house, which isn't too different, and it's in the county. So everything in the city, all the way to the other light, is already general business. And I believe the planning, future planning for Aiken identified that as an area that would be general business. And the Planning and Zoning Commission voted 100% that it should be changed. They, if you went to that meeting, they weren't all that pleased with it either. And they felt for the people that wanted it or didn't want any changes made, but they felt it should be pushed on up to the city council because it made sense to do what we were proposing. There wouldn't be a cut through. Everybody's worrying about a cut through from Silver Bluff back through the other property. There wouldn't be a cut through then. So I really feel that, you know, the rezoning of the front part, giving away the back, and I can't tell you how many acres, it may be 4.5 or whatever, if y'all would agree, whatever surveyed out, it'd be everything else but a tenth of an acre that that Silver Bluff Associates owns would be what would be donated to you. But it'd be best for the city, I believe. I think in the long run it'd be best for the residences, and it'd be best for the wildlife. So I'm certainly willing to work with you in any way. I assume we would have a survey so we know how many acres would be everything we own back there but that little sliver that Silver Bluff Associates owns. So if I can help in any way, I really enjoyed meeting some of the residents. They're really nice people, and seeing for myself what their concerns were. But I just didn't believe we were causing water problems, so I'm glad that that was looked at and that we aren't causing that. Thank you.
Mr. Pfeiffer, question, please. I alluded to it earlier. Is the description of the property that you're going to rezone to allow the business to be built on, is it rectangle?
Rectangle.
So the diagram you gave us in your April 09 letter is not correct.
I don't know which one it was. Correct. That part of it would be rezoned. It's already built on by the Rhodes and Murphy.
And you sold that to them then?
I sold that to them.
Yeah.
And all that was already rezoned.
Thank you.
And Neil, you indicated that your 30 foot is now 350 foot.
In other words, there's no need now for him to come back on his property 30 feet
okay.
and plant some bushes. Because now from the back of his line, it'll be 350 feet.
Okay.
And you probably aren't going to have to do as much planting as you think because we would mow in there every year. It's amazing how fast that underbrush grows. And it grows fairly tall. And I think, you know, there'll be an awful lot of cover before they even have to think about planting trees in November, that you'll be surprised how much it grows up.
Okay. I just want to add that one of the things that I heard by several of the residents is, as we deliberate this and we arrive at some decision as to how we're going to rule, can I trust my government to honor what they're committed to? Can I trust you? And Mayor, I was happy to make your comments in terms of that is why we're here. When we vote on and make a decision, it is to be honored and abided by, and we are not to go against what we rule on. So I know that you're here. We're the government. We're here to help you. You can trust us. But City Council means that you can trust the decisions that come from this body. So.
Absolutely. Neil, thank you. Is anyone else who would like to speak?
Ms. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I think the trust issue is important, and I do hope that that between what you said and what the city attorney said, that they understand that when the property does, if it passes, that when it does come to the city, that it comes in as green space. And we have been trying to acquire green space all over the city, and this would be a welcome addition to the acreage. And I think we have someone ready to speak again before I make a motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Erica Simmons, I was reading over this letter Mr. Farfour sent in, and on here it has where the Silver Bluff Associates will donate most of the property to the city. He plans to keep his portion that he personally owns, not by Silver Bluff Associates, and maybe one half to one additional acre behind it to enlarge his lot. And I noticed since we've been coming here, the whole time it's been 5.25 acres, and earlier a few minutes ago he said 4. So my main concern is if y'all give us this green space, ensure us that we won't have to continue to come up here. Are y'all going to name it? What is going to be named? Are we going to have any other problems? What kind of assurance are we really going to get from you all? And I know all of y'all are not going to continue to stay in your offices that you are in. So will we have something in writing guaranteeing us the decision that is made from you all carried on to the next members?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our attorney has alluded to the fact that the deed would have certain comments in there. Gary, you can say it better than I.
The deed would have language in it that would make it very clear, not only to this council, but any future council members, and not only this particular city attorney, but any future city attorney, that property can only be used for green space, and that if that use were to change, then the city would lose the right to keep that property. Okay. I'll give you an example. The city sold the Highland Park Golf Club to the McNair family. And when they did that, they sold it with a restriction. That property was always to be used as a golf course. And if you quit using it as a golf course, it comes back to the city. Mm-hmm. Well, if you've seen the work that he's done on that golf course, you know he doesn't want that property coming back to the city. And so he has to comply with that deed, so it's always going to be used as a golf course. The same would hold true for this property. If we don't use it the way it's supposed to be used, the city can lose it.
Okay.
Now, we're just talking here, but when this transaction is final, there will be documents with numbers and lines and spaces, and that has to be filed.
Oh, I'm familiar with the RMC bill.
Right. Well, it'll be filed, and when it's filed, that's when it becomes final.
And when you all file it, can all 52 neighbors get a copy of this to attach with the covenant that we have?
You can do that at church events. You can go to, I mean, the RMC is a public, it's right. A public building.
No, but I'm wondering, because it will be deeded to the city, so will we have the accessibility to get a copy of this document?
Mm-hmm. Sure. The RMC office can help you get a copy of that deed once it's recorded.
And we could give you just a paper copy. It would not be a stamped copy. We would give you a paper copy that what the city will be owning.
No, I prefer the stamped copy.
We can't help you with that.
Okay.
We can't help you then, because that has to be done at the RMC.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a question about that. I was under the impression that we can't obligate future councils. So
you're not obligating the future council. Mr. Farfour is obligating the entire city of Aiken.
But this council is accepting it.
Correct.
And given that if a future council decided to change that exception, it could only go back to him.
Correct.
Okay. If the property were put as an easement, a conservation easement, would that absolutely guarantee that it could never be used for anything else?
I'm not an expert on conservation easements. I could do that research and help you understand that.
From my limited knowledge, and it is very limited from what I've been told from the Aiken Land Conservation folks, mm-hmm. that once it is declared in that manner, now if we just have it as general space, green space, open space, that's one level, but we put it into some conservancy, then we could go ahead and there would be certain documents that would allow it to remain that way forever.
Yeah, that's the guarantee I think
right.
they're looking
mm-hmm.
for.
And it would be very, very tough for anyone to change that decision.
And Neil, don't you need that? I mean, for your donation to be what it ought to be?
Yeah, it has to be donated, of course, and surveyed and appraised,
etc. Etc. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and we don't know the exact acreage you were talking about, 4.5, 5 acres, 5.5. We just know that there's, I think, 5.2 acres, and that once you eliminate this other property that he's always talked about along Silver Bluff rezoning, and then he's got a small little sliver behind his existing property, about a tenth to maybe 0.15 acres. I don't know if that's going to be 4.5 acres, 5 acres, but we know it's the general area we've always been talking about for green space.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Anyone else? Going. Gone. Okay.
I wanted to make...
Okay. I'm sorry?
She's pointing at her. She's speaking from a seat.
You can hear me from here. So okay. I don't have to walk up there. I didn't bring my cane.
Okay. Sarah, can you hear her, do you think? Huh?
She's saying yes, she can.
She said she'll try.
She'll try. Okay, you try your best, and we'll get what we can get. Okay.
Now, on this letter dated March 6th.
Okay. Excuse me. You want to state who you are so she can, for the record, so she can...
Sorry, I'm Kay Boynton, B-O-Y-N-T-O-N. I live at 619 Oriole Street. And I spoke to Mr. Farfour last week. This letter dated March 6th, 2009, to the city manager, dear Mr. Ledoux. Down in here, he's saying that he wants to name this green area after him.
That's the old
Is that necessary? Since it's going to be donated to the city.
It's not a park.
It's not going to be a park.
Okay. But it's saying park on this letter.
I think that's the old letter. There's another letter.
We have an April 7th.
We have an April 7th letter.
2009.
Okay. And I also wanted to ask about results. What can be done about the
I didn't see any goats.
Mr. Mayor, I have an update. I passed that comment about the goats on to County Councilman Bunker, and I got an email, as a matter of fact, yesterday, and the county is going to look into that to make sure that they're complying.
We got stray cats all over the neighborhood. Now we got goats making noise, yeah. and I
can't promise any action. I can only say that he is working it.
Okay.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you.
And that's up to City Council whether you want to have a marker, a plaque, or naming or anything when you accept this property. Right now, there's nothing of that in the ordinance that you are passing as far as naming of the park.
There's one thing I do want to read for the record, though. We do have this letter, April 8th, 2009, Ms. Bickley, since she could not be here. Now, it's a long letter, and I'm just going to read the first part of it, which really is the essence of the whole letter. Believe me on that. This will be a part of the record, so if anybody ever wants to see it, you can. But there are 6 points that she makes, and I think, you know, we've heard them before, but since she asked for this to be read, I certainly want to do that. We have listed the many reasons that we feel this request should be denied. First, increased traffic in the area. Second, increased noise level. Third, unsightliness of the back end of commercial buildings. Number four, cutting off access from Silver Bluff Road, thereby causing increased traffic onto Oreo when developer builds on tract he owns off Oreo. Number five, removing more trees and growth between our homes and Silver Bluff. But number six, most significant and severe at this time, is the flooding to the back of our yards. Since the Rhodes Square project has been started, we have water standing in puddles after even mild rains. This is evidenced by number four enclosed pictures that she had given us. And I'll just read one more paragraph. It seems very irresponsible to push another property onto the land before discovering and correcting the drainage problem that has already developed. So we've talked about all these things time and time again, and I think we talked about them very thoroughly tonight with Mr. Morris. And so I really feel that these things, if there's a problem here, then most of this is going to be corrected. And let me give you a worst-case scenario. I guess I'm bad on this sometimes, looking and trying to look at both sides of issues. You look at the best-case scenario, and then you look at the worst-case scenario. Well, I think we've heard the best-case scenario tonight, and I think we've been talking about it all along. But to me, the worst-case scenario would be we don't approve this. Mr. Farfar has already said that he has people looking at buying this, and I believe. He could lower his price considerably and make money as opposed to giving it to the city. Suppose he does that and he sells the property and they build 50 whatever apartments back there. The homes might or may not be looking at the backyards, number one. But that's not my whole point about this thing. If he does that, you've got those apartments back there, right? That doesn't say anything about this lot that we're talking about on Silver Bluff Road. So what happens then is it comes back to City Council for consideration again. How in this wide world would we ever approve it? You've got homes back there. You can no longer say, or no one could no longer really say, golly, all that noise, I can see that, because you got these apartments that are staring you in the face outside of your kitchen windows or whatever. So I hope that's not a stretch in what I'm saying, but to me that would be a worst case scenario if I lived in any one of those homes that back up to this property. So, therefore, I'm in favor of this. I'm in favor of supporting it tonight, and city getting the property and doing what we've said we would do, and making it very livable back there, rather than have construction back there. I think that would be the best thing. I know it's not up to me to decide what's the best thing for you, but I feel like if I were living there, that would be the best thing for me to have that done. So I, for one, support this, but we don't even have a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve this ordinance upon first reading to amend the zoning of the property on Silver Bluff Road from residential multifamily low density to general business.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Do we need to say that we need to have the five conditions that the Planning Commission attached to their approval?
This would be as per the ordinance that you have before you, which has those conditions.
Right. That's good. That's all I want to know.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to support going to the second reading, but that's not a guarantee that I'm going to support it at the second reading.
Okay. Well, I think we're always open for something new that could pop up that we don't even understand or aware of at this point, but... That's understandable.
My comments, because I'm reluctant to go against some of the neighbors, but the neighbors seem to be changing.
Yeah. Okay, any other comments? If not, show hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, thank you very much.
There's a question, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
But the best thing is, if y'all give us green space, we don't have to ever come up here again.
Okay.
Amen. Well, they love seeing you, but not so often.
Okay, thank you all very much for your patience and being here. And we'll have a second reading now in a couple of weeks. That will make it, whatever, official. Okay, item two is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance regarding uses in limited business LB zone. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding uses allowed in limited business zone. This came before you last year. You asked that we get comments from all the individuals that may own some limited business property. We did. And the only change that was...
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do. The only change that was made was that for a limited business zone, that instead of by right, some retail sales or service could be appropriated, that they would now need to get permission through special exception through the Board of Zoning Appeal. So it puts a little bit more of a restriction on it in the fact that you just couldn't put any sales or service. They're concerned that there might be some sales or services that we'd need to look at that to make sure it's appropriate in those areas. We had no comments back from the citizens when we wrote them concerning their properties that were zoned LB. And so this is before you tonight on second reading and public hearing of an ordinance regarding uses in limited business zones requiring other retail sales or service to be permitted but through the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay, thank you. This is a second reading and public hearing. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this ordinance on second reading.
Okay, sir.
Second.
Second. Any discussion, Council? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item three, the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance for the $1.5 million loan for Crosland Park. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance amending the City of Aiken. I'm sorry, these pages are kind of backwards. Okay. It's an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to lend up to $1.5 million, provide financing to fund the purchase and renovation of homes in Crosland Park. We have an opportunity to talk about this on several occasions. The City of Aiken has had this as one of its priority items as goals to do something with Crosland Park over the last several years. we have had a great opportunity. Councilwoman Clyburn and the mayor were at a meeting where nine churches and seven other nonprofits were gathered together and signed a memorandum of agreement to go into Carlson Park and jointly work together to revitalize that area. We have submitted, along with the Aiken Corporation, for a $1.5 million grant that will discount the price of the homes by up to $20,000. CDIC, Friendship Baptist Church, and Aiken Housing Authority has submitted a grant for 18 homes that would be renovated and would be then owned by those entities as rental property. The intention is to buy up to 150 homes in that neighborhood, to totally renovate them, and to bring through the real estate values going up and infrastructure improvements made by the city, revitalize the whole community. The $1.5 million will allow us to go and obtain approximately 20 homes, totally revitalize those over the next several months, start a job training program in the community, and have these homes completely ready for sale or to rent at the time that the grants would become available. We would start the process, the renovation, probably in June, with the purchasing happening the next few weeks. So for your consideration tonight, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance for the city to consider lending us $1.5 million to the city reserve funds or setting up a line of credit for that housing. This money we anticipate being paid back well before the end of the year.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve this ordinance on second reading. And I'd just like to say that it was such a wonderful gathering of people that night. And I jokingly, and I guess I did mean it, say that it kind of sounded like, it seemed like it was, they were signing the Declaration of Independence. And what I meant by that is that the people within Carlson Park will really feel relieved that someone's going in there and doing a lot of work. And just the group of people represented there was just very uplifting. And I wanted to say that in making the motion that we approve this.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'll second it. I agree with what you've said, Beverly. It's a wonderful evening, and it's a wonderful improvement project, that's for sure. Any other comments?
Just a question again. It is likely that we'll get the money back in the fall. How likely is it? I mean, is it likely that we might not?
In the past, when we've asked the state for the grant money for Tool Hill and for Ashen Oaks, we have always gotten the grants. The likelihood of the money being there, they have gotten additional money over above what they normally have available through the stimulus package.
Okay, so you're feeling pretty good we're going to get it.
Yeah, I feel very good. Again, the worst case scenario, and I hope that's not the case, would be we'd renovate the properties and we'd become landlords for a little while.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to amend the City of Aiken Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan to adopt the 10-year capital improvements element. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. This is a new act that the legislature body came up with at the state level, asking that we develop a plan of action, so to speak, or strategic plan for capital projects, share those with the surrounding entities so that they could see what we're doing, and then they would share with us all what they're doing. Unfortunately, no one's sharing anything with us yet, and we got no comments back from anybody when we shared it with them. It was more like, what's this? But I think it's a good law, and I think over a period of time, as we begin to share our plans with the county and the neighboring entities and the utilities, the school district, we could better work together for the common good of the citizens. So there, although it's going to have probably a little bit of a slower start, I think in the end it's going to be a great priority investment act, and we'll have some great promises in the future. So what you're passing tonight is what we have put together through the Planning Commission. They voted unanimously to approve this. I believe that we started in either July or August of last year meeting with the Planning Commission on the projects that we envision going forward over the next 10 years. They had a lot of questions, so we've had a lot of time to share back and forth. That doesn't mean all these are going to be done that you see in the 10-year plan. And even when they do get to the point where we're ready to start, they'll be either coming back to you through the budget process, the one-cent sales tax projects, to make sure the funding's there. Although we have identified most of these with some revenue stream. So for your consideration tonight on second reading, and the reason we held off having second reading for last meeting is by law you have to advertise for 30 days notice to let the public know that this is coming forward before this body. We have fulfilled that obligation, and this is the second reading of public hearing of an ordinance to amend the Aiken Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan for the inclusion of the 10-year capital improvement element.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Is the county going to have to comply with this by a certain date?
Mr. Evans might be able to speak on that, but I'm not too sure if there was a certain date they had to comply by, but they're supposed to be complying by it. You know, it's one of those laws, there's no penalties, and those, you know, it's, you're supposed to do it.
I think for the record's sake, we should at least try one more time to get them to comply, and then if they don't, to make a note to the record that this was sent or conversations took place two times or whatever.
We have not received anything back from the county on comments from our plan or anybody else, to my knowledge.
Okay.
And we have not received anything from the county on their plan.
Okay. What do you think of my suggestion I just offered? Try one more time to get something? Or forget it?
I mean, I personally don't hold a lot of promise in that we're going to get anything.
Well, these are people we talk to daily. I mean, it doesn't take too much to pick up the phone and say, Clay Killian, administrator, we sent this to you. What's happening? Right?
We could certainly do that.
I think we ought to.
We call him on those issues all the time. And
well, if he says, hey, look, forget it, our council doesn't want to do anything, or whatever he might say, then just make a note of that and put it in the file.
And we might want to mention to our legislators that they need a deadline if this thing's going to mean anything.
Well, absolutely. If we have a record of this thing kind of thing happening, how many times have we used this so far? This process, this law, if you will.
This is the first time.
Oh, this is the first time?
Yeah. The law was just passed in 2007. So yeah. No one's used to doing this.
Well, this is, we're into 09. Okay. Well, I think it's very meaningful to do this. Certainly lets each of these entities know what the other is planning, and if there's something we can coordinate, then that's great. Maybe they have some reason why, gee, why don't you move this over here or do something over there rather than this because it's going to do something to us. I think that's the general reason for having this. And then maybe you can collaborate on the financing too. So I'm going to look into this personally myself too. Okay. Did I ask if anyone wanted to speak on this yet?
Yes.
I don't think anybody wants to speak on it. Okay, it's back to us. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move to approve this on second reading.
I'll second this.
Okay, we have a second. Any comments? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Number five item on the old business, approval of the election schedule. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Okay, I found it.
Yeah, you found it.
At the last meeting, we talked about the election schedule and the fact that precinct number 53, we got a letter from the school district saying they no longer want us to hold the election at Chucker Creek School because school is in session both during the primary and regular election, and that if we're going to continue to hold it on the second Tuesday, you know, the first Tuesday in November, which is historically what we've always done, and having our primaries earlier in the school year, we could not hold it there any longer. The commission, headed by Richard Johnson, who is here tonight chairing the City Election Commission, brought back an alternative after meeting with Stuart Bedenbaugh, suggesting the Church of God be the location for this. I've given you a lot of information because there was a question that came up, well, does it have to be within the precinct? Stuart gave several examples, including some in Aiken, where we currently are not holding it within the precinct because you just can't find a public location. So, Council, tonight we want to bring this issue back to you. Number one, to tell you that the election commission, your election commissioners, feel it still should be at the Church of God. And the other question that came up was, should we change the possible date to some other date so that maybe you could go ahead and hold the primary during the summer period, find a date in September or October. It would probably change from year to year when there was an in-service date on a Monday or Friday with the school district, and then maybe they would let us use the school. So that's the other alternative, is to change our election schedule, knowing that it may change every other year depending on what the date is that the school district is in school or not in school. So Richard Johnson is here tonight to discuss and answer any questions you may have concerning this.
Are you saying that any of these dates we can change?
Council could pass an ordinance and always set the election day. You could set it for April if you wanted to. You could hold your election any date you want to, as long as it's every other year.
I mean, any one of these seven things we could change the date
right
of.
Here. You change one, though, then you've got specific time periods.
Right, exactly.
Between the others. Oh. I think so. Richard, would you step up and maybe you can answer this, too, while we're trying to find an answer.
Yeah, we set our election schedule based on the fact that we were assuming we were going to stay with our mythology for our elections as we always have, which would be November 3rd. So, I mean, if you wanted to change the dates, then we'd have to go back and revise it based on, first of all, will a school, even with the changed date, allow us to be in that school?
Well, the one I'm talking about in particular is the closing of entries for nomination by petition being 10 days after the primaries. I'd like to see that be the same date as the primary. Yeah, I would.
We'd have to look to see. I believe these dates are set by statute.
That's what I was asking.
I don't think you can change that. But I think you can. We would have to look and make sure that if you shift a particular date, the election day date, for example, you've got notice requirements and that sort of thing.
I understand your question.
So we don't know.
Well, I, for one, don't see any reason to change the dates. Maybe there's some good reasons that someone can give. Church of God sounds good to me.
Mr. Mayor,
some discussion.
The real thing had nothing to do with changing dates as much as it had to do with the fact that Precinct 53 votes at Chucker Creek. That's what everybody in Precinct 53 knows and believes. And that was the radical question that I had. So we were looking for other dates only to accommodate perhaps a school work day or whatever they call it.
Work service day
or something like that. I don't want to change the dates. I do want to keep Precinct 53 at Chucker Creek School. Now, when Mr. Johnson came before us before, we talked about the fact that all of the schools have a problem. Is that true on this off-year election? Why don't the other schools have a problem? Why only Precinct 53, Chucker Creek School?
Well, Chucker Creek is
is kind of unique, and the overall layout for Chucker Creek is somewhat different as the superintendent of school indicated, and that they would ask that we move the precinct from, relieve them from precinct 53 from Chucker Creek. Other schools have not been as forthright about moving as Chucker Creek. So therefore, based on that, we, following their recommendation, since they own the facility, and they are asking that we they're asking that we relocate, and yeah. So we are honoring that, and that's the information that we're providing to you.
But it is a public building.
It's a public building.
It has been approved by the delegation and by the state as the official precinct.
But I think what you have to keep taking into consideration, if it's inconvenient to school, then...
But that's my problem. If all the schools are in session on that particular day, how come it's inconvenient to this school and others? And I will say, sir, if I may, I'll just give another factoid here, is that the poll manager who has been there for 8 years says he's never seen a problem.
Councilman Smith, I'm not challenging that, but the poll manager is not the person that's requesting the move. It's the school board, the owners of the property. So that maybe while the poll manager did not see a problem or does not see a problem,
the owner of the property, and I have a very difficult time understanding why one school should have a problem when the others don't, and it just happens to be the largest precinct in the city.
Well, we didn't go there requesting them to move. They requested that, the school board, and we had a meeting with Mr. David Caver. We sat down and discussed this whole matter with him. Mac McLaren, Sarah Rideout, and myself met with them. And
what is their primary stated reason? What is the real objection?
Because of the inconvenience of the election, particularly in the mornings when families are bringing children to school, and in the afternoon when they come in to pick up the children. It creates a problem, and they want relief from it.
Mr. Johnson, is it the superintendent of schools, is it the school board, or is it the school board facilities person? Who exactly is asking that we not vote?
We spoke with the assistant superintendent, Mr. David Caver, but the request is coming from the school itself, from the administration, from the principal.
Okay, but not the school board or the superintendent, the principal.
We spoke with the assistant superintendent, Mr. David Caver, and he represents the school board.
Okay, thank you.
According to the minutes, it says here that from your last time here, it says that the school district has asked the city to consider another location as they have had complaints from the school parents and the voters regarding security at the school, traffic, and parking when city elections are held.
And I think that letter is signed by Mr. David Caver.
It said you met with Mr. Caver. These are statements in the minutes from last time.
Okay.
When he originally talked to us, he had mentioned he wanted us to consider moving it from all the schools. That was the original request we had from David Caver. And then we asked him, you know, is there a particular problem at any one school. Then it got down to Aiken Elementary School and Chucker Creek. And finally they relented and said, okay, we'll try to keep working it out at Aiken Elementary for a while, but we're telling you now we may have to move from that location, but we absolutely need to move from Chucker Creek. Now, that's what he had asked. I mean, we could certainly get him to come here at the next meeting, but since you met with him personally,
yes,
we just talked to him, you know, over the phone and stuff.
Yeah, so. We met with him. Mac McCleary and Sarah Rideout and I did. But if it is the desire of council, we will ask that Mr. Cable meet with you or to explain his situation.
Richard, is he requesting that this be done immediately this year, or do you have some?
No, they would like for it to be done.
No.
Now.
Now.
Yeah, rather than have another election.
Yeah,
that's their request.
But see, I would rather see it that we have a threat of others, as I understand it, possibly others. I would rather see it that we work it out and do all the changes at one time and make notice of that before a general election, if you will, not to start changing a primary this late in the game, if you will.
Well, that's
for one location.
Okay, but that's not my call. Only thing we're doing is relaying the information from the school board to you who will make the final decision.
But in effect, they can't. They're not going to deny us if we as a council said no, this time we'd like to do this, and then let's consider the future, go through the delegation.
I wish I could give you a definite answer on that, but I can't. I don't know what school board would say if we tell them that we're not in a position to move.
I can tell you that the primary responsibility of the safety of the students lie with the superintendent and the school board. And if they're citing that as a reason for not wanting the election held here, they are within their rights to not allow us to use the building.
But why only one school? To me, it's...
Well, I think if you look at the traffic flow on
terrible.
Chucker Creek. It's a little different from the traffic pattern at going into the Aiken High Annex where I vote. It's just a little different. There's not that afternoon pickup traffic like there might be at that one road going into Chucker Creek in the afternoons or in the mornings when they're dropping off students. We've known for a long time that's a tight situation, not even on an election day. I'm not trying to justify what the school district is doing. I'm trying to say to you that when the Knights, was it the Lions Club, said that they could no longer use that building for voting in Precinct 11, they had to find another place. When the building belongs to another entity, we can't dictate to them that we have to use their facility. They allow us to use their facility. We can't dictate that to them. But if you know somebody on the school board that you can work through that could grant you permission to use it, I think that's what you should do, because I think what Richard is doing is bringing to us what they have brought to him. I think that's all he's doing, and he's suggesting that we'll find another place, and if we can't find another place, we're even willing to change the date of the election. And I don't think any of us want to do that. But I do think that if the school board says, you know, we have a problem with traffic flow and with it's a headache for us and you can't use this facility any longer, I think they're within their rights to say that. It's their facility.
Listen, I have never been around a school at the time when you're dropping children off or picking them up that it hasn't been an absolute zoo for traffic. I would defy you to point to one school where the parents drive properly when they're dropping their little darlings off and when they're picking them up. I've been fighting that from a traffic perspective for 20 years, and it's never going to change. I think the school board has a public obligation to help us perform a democratic act, and I'm a little bit distressed that, not at you, Mr. Johnson, I'm a little bit distressed that we even need to discuss this, quite frankly. I mean, it's important enough we have the vice chairman of the Republican Party who wants to weigh in on this issue. I frankly would like to have a work session. I'd like to have somebody from the school department there. I'd like to have Stuart Biedenbaugh there, and I'd like to hash this out. Indiscriminately screwing around with places where people vote has a significant impact on elections. And I can clearly cite in Precinct 60, I ran for election on two occasions. On one occasion, the people in my district from Gem Lakes were made to go all the way down to Odell Weeks. Their percentage of voting was 3.86%. I made an issue of it before my next election, and they were then allowed to vote where they normally vote. Their percentage was 17.99%, almost a six-fold increase. So this is not a casual area that the PTA or somebody at the school board is concerned, or the school itself is concerned about traffic. It's democracy in action. We have to be able to provide a regular place for people to vote. It's that important. And I think, look, we know we're going to have a census in 2010. And Stuart Biedenbaugh has already said there's going to be realignments of precincts. I mean, he's on record as saying that because some precincts are too large.
Let me just say that it's refreshing to hear Dick say that, because we've lived with changes in our precinct, not knowing from year to year, Richard, as you well know, where we were going to vote. Mm-hmm. And so it's been, we just had to figure it out. And Beverly, you're aware that we've had to figure out where we should go the next year to vote. But certainly I understand both sides of the issue. I've wrestled with my children when they were younger at Aiken High, at Aiken Elementary, and seeing the traffic come in and the traffic leave and the voting folks, and you know how crowded that area is, and somehow it all worked out. But I can understand it's a different climate we're dealing in right now with safety and safety concerns.
How is it any different?
People are not as tolerant as they used to be with children and with the way things are. The tolerance level has just reduced, I should say, in terms of safety with adults and children.
Well, we could always send some of our public safety folks over to Chucka Creek if traffic is a concern during the voting.
I just want, for the record, I want to say that voting has not always been at Chucka Creek, because Chucka Creek hasn't always been there. That's a fairly new school. Mm-hmm. And
been there ever since I've been in Aiken.
Well, that isn't that long. I mean, it hasn't. I remember when they built it.
It's 11 years.
I remember when they built it, and I can tell you that the safety of the children is of the utmost importance. And I don't think any of us want to challenge them by saying, you know, you have a societal right or duty to let us vote in your building.
But then shouldn't we stop going to all the schools? They're
well,
the same,
you know,
danger.
That, I think that's what they were trying to do, is it not, Richard?
Yes.
They'd love to have us out of all of the schools.
Well, why don't we consider what Dick has suggested, and that's having a work session and talking to the appropriate parties, so that we can all feel better one way or the other about this issue, if that's what you want to do.
And the thing is, the reason that I asked the question about the timing is, I believe in proper and adequate notice. People have to become accustomed to where they're going to vote. And if you change one now, and change another location another year, but if we're going to change it, it ought to be simultaneously across the board rather
and that's part of my point. Yeah. I'd rather struggle through until the census is done and we get a picture of what it's going to look like for at least a 10-year period rather than having people vote at a different location each time. And I'm not against children's safety, please. I hope nobody's going to make that point. I strongly believe we should have adequate safety around the schools for our children.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Well, you might want to get to, we have the vice chair of the Republican Party. It's here. I don't know if you want to hear his views.
David, would you like to say a few words, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Again, it's not you.
Yeah.
Well, whatever your desires are, that's what we'll do. But and it's not our call to make that decision.
That's right.
Now, we could have a couple of us could meet, you know, on the side without waiting 2 weeks to have a work session or anything. We could meet quickly.
Well, I would,
if you wanted to do that, Dick, you know, with Mr. Caver, Dr. Caver.
And that's what I suggest.
I would really suggest that because the election, you know, there's statutory limits.
Right.
Set up for dates and time, and you need to be able to do whatever you're going to do within that time frame and be ready to.
Yeah, when does this have to be posted?
I'm sure he didn't think of all.
Well,
it says August 3rd.
It's listed on there. August the 3rd. Well, it's.
That's when it opens the filing, but when does it have to be set in stone, so to speak?
It becomes public as soon as we.
When it's published, and it's published 2 weeks. 2 weeks prior to the
okay, 2 weeks
there,
prior to this
at least,
thing.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I don't have it before me.
We are going to need a month or two to go to the Justice Department to get their approval on any new location.
Oh, okay.
So we have time, but we can't keep going too much longer.
Okay.
On election day itself, Mr. Johnson, is the school closed on election day itself this year?
No, the school is open. The school
not
is
on
in session.
Either the primary election day or the general election day.
And you need three possible dates for an election: primary, runoff, possible runoff, and then the election day. So you have three possible dates that you have to include in your scheduling.
Yeah, the elections were held during the normal general election time. There'd be no problem.
I know.
Because all the schools are closed on those days.
Right.
But it's only because we're in the odd years that we have this problem.
Well, the primary might still be a problem, might it not?
Well, that's already been voted on, so by the citizens.
Yeah. I just think that if you talk with David, he is a very reasonable man.
Right.
And I think if you could use your influence with him and get him to see the problems you're having, those of you that want to keep it where it is, I think he might even listen to you. He is very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, is there any way we can go ahead and approve the election schedule without approving the relocation of the precinct 53?
There's no need to. Why?
And really, you're... Theoretically, you don't approve the election schedule because the election schedule is set by law. We're just giving it to you more for information. Mm-hmm. There was a way to go ahead and get this issue before you so we could discuss the whole situation.
You just want us to think we were important.
No, you are important.
Yeah. Richard, why don't you just rest a minute there and let's hear from David. And if there's anyone else that wants to come in on this issue, you may do that. Don't go away.
Okay. I'll be right here.
Okay.
Mayor Kavanaugh, members of the City Council, members of the management of Aiken City. My name is David Lobb. I live on Winchester Lane in Aiken, and I'm here in response to a number of concerned citizens who have contacted me, plus the concern of the Republican Party. In looking at the relocation of Precinct 53, which, as far as a Republican is concerned, is the largest single Republican district in the county of Aiken. And so, therefore, when this disrupts voters who are of a senior age, and I start to fit into that category nowadays, any change in the schedule, any additional things like going on to Whiskey Road where there may be driving hazards that they're not normally wanting to put up with the traffic there, might keep them from going from the polls. As Councilman DeWar has indicated, any time that there's a move of a change in a precinct area, the number of voters who vote drastically is reduced. And so I think that is a disenfranchisement to the voters of Precinct 53. And I also would like to point out, and maybe the city attorney can confirm this, that any school system that takes federal and state money must make their becomes a public property and must make that area available for public use if requested. So I think that's something that they may be asking us to do this, but we may be, as citizens of Aiken County, in a position to say, no, thank you very much, but we want to still keep it there. But I have not been able to confirm that with Columbia, so I thought maybe you might be able to confirm that.
I'm not familiar with that rule.
Okay. That's what I got, but that's what I've been told by some other people. And looking at the memo of April 8th, that the Mr. Johnson here wrote to you, I have a number of questions. One thing he mentions in here, that the distance and convenience was considered when locating this, yet he did not quantify this to why. What were the parameters that made this acceptable? I think that's a question that one must ask. Two, he said, also said that the church may not be available, yet he's proposing it as a location. So that's a question. The other thing is, he didn't consider any locations that were within the precincts and why they were rejected. I think that's information that the council ought to be aware of. So I think there's some omissions here that need to be clarified. And moving on to the memorandum from Attorney Moore on April 9th, he points out in Section 7-7-920 that a precinct can only be moved in an emergency situation. This is an inconvenience, even stated by Mr. Johnson. It's an inconvenience. So therefore, it doesn't qualify under the emergency law. And pointing out that if you do move that, there is a possibility that these elections might be nullified by a court. And that is a major concern on my part as a Republican official in the county. So therefore, I don't want to see a large number of Republicans disenfranchised because something wasn't done right. And furthermore, I'd like to point out, if this was such a major concern, why didn't the superintendent of schools write a letter to Stuart Birnbaum requesting that all voting precincts located in city schools be moved? He didn't. It's only in this special case. So one begs the question, why? And that's a big question in my mind. So I'm open if anybody has any questions for me.
You raised some very good points.
Thank you.
Question.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Okay.
I think relative to the questions about the moving of the precincts, an emergency situation, that's after you've posted the dates.
Yes. Yeah.
That's only after you've posted the dates that that applies. And we have not posted any dates yet.
No, but that emergency situations assumes that you've got I didn't even ask the question, is the Aiken Church of God, if it becomes a voting location, is that within Precinct 53?
No.
So,
it's across the street.
Okay.
I want to make two comments, and then I'm going to be quiet. My first comment is this. I think
I don't think we need a work session. I think you just need to talk with the school district folks and see what they can do to help you out, if they can. Let them enumerate what the problems may have been or what they see as a problem for them. And I think they're reasonable people. All school district people are reasonable. Secondly, Leslie, I understand why they keep changing our precincts now, because when you change the precincts, your numbers do go down.
Right.
And so I wondered where everybody was when they changed all those other precincts on the other side. And I don't want, I like for numbers to come in high, and so I don't want to do anything to cause anybody to not be able to find the precincts. I think we should work with the school board and see if we can't work it out. I don't think it's something we can force on them, but I do think it's something we can get them to see our point of view on. And I think all we have to do is ask a second time, and I think they might reasonably work with us.
Mr. Johnson, who is responsible for choosing where voters vote? In other words, if they don't vote in their normal precinct location, and I'm defining normal as where they vote in the general election, who for the city election makes the decision as to where the people will vote? Is that your commission?
Yes.
Okay. And when will you make that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What we've always made an effort to do was to vote in the normal places. But this came up, and we have to address it. And the letter came from the school board, from the superintendent, requesting that we consider moving it. And I do not have the letter in before me, but there's a letter in filed here, I think, from Mr. Cable.
My question wasn't related to Precinct 53. For all of
the
precincts.
53 was simply because that's the precinct that the school board,
yes,
is requesting relief from. It's not us.
I know. My question was beyond that. This year we have two at-large positions, so that technically, I guess, every precinct in the city will be open.
Every precinct in the city is always open for election, regardless to whether it's an at-large seat.
Some in the past have been consolidated, have they not?
No, a precinct has never been consolidated.
The locations have never been consolidated. The locations have been consolidated.
Yeah, many times we'll have two down. Yeah.
Not consolidated. We in the same facility, but not.
We moved the place, the voting location.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, right. the example I used in the beginning. When I first ran, right, somebody decided that Precinct 60 wasn't going to vote at their normal place. They were going to go to Odell Weeks.
Right.
And all I'm asking is, who makes that decision?
Well, that decision was made sometime in the past with the
election
consent of the Election Commission.
But that's your commission, not the county.
No, out of the state. The state can...
But somebody suggested it to them, right?
Yes.
Someone wrote them a letter or talked to them.
Could this be done? And it was approved, and that's what
your question
was done.
Dick, who was the somebody?
I was just trying to find out, because I think, again, part of this effort, we should let people know as soon as possible where they're going to be voting.
There's an announcement to the paper, at least announcement laying out the opening dates, closing dates, and everything, and the locations.
And that's in about the smallest print the Aiken Standard can find.
I could pull up a copy and show you this regular print where the preset locations are.
Councilman DeWar, if I'm not mistaken, I would believe in a Republican primary, it is the Republican Party that decides where the voting places will be held or how many will be open. And then they maybe they get the approval from the Election Commission?
No, well the Election Commission has nothing to do with the primary. The parties does that.
That's what I'm saying. The Republican Party would determine what precincts would vote, how many polling places would be open for that primary and where they would be located.
Right.
We haven't been asked that.
Yeah, the party does.
That is correct.
The state doesn't have the anything to do with it.
Well, I know the party, whichever party it is, it has a primary, essentially contracts with the county elections office, Stuart Biedenbaugh, mm-hmm. and they run it, and then the county is supposed to pay the cost for that.
That's
so I'm aware of that. But it's still a city election, so I...
But the City Election Commission has nothing to do with primaries.
Okay. Didn't realize that. Thank you.
And the county is involved, the County Election Commission is involved as to the locations and works with us in obtaining those locations. So we work closely with Stewart, and Stewart is the one that suggests the Church of God because that's where they hold their general election at for that area.
Yeah, and there's another precinct that's in there as well.
Right.
Already.
And by the way, has the Church of God is now accepted the idea, or have they not?
We're not sure. I have a meeting scheduled with them this Thursday. And I think you might have we wrote a letter to Mr. LeDuc on April 8th stating that if the Church of God is not available, then we will look for other locations.
I'm going to revert back to the recommendation that Mrs. Clyburn has already made in terms of approaching the Caver first, Mr. Caver first, and I would say Eldridge as well, Dr. Eldridge as well, and see whether something can be reconsidered with that request for this election period. And then if there is a need to make changes with all the schools, we'll look at all the schools and make those changes simultaneously and looking at other recommendations.
What the original letter we got from the school districts asked us to remove the elections from all the schools. But that's when we went back, and because we started looking, especially for Aiken Elm, that precinct, we couldn't find any public places. There's just not public places now. That's when we went back and asked, would you rethink this? And they said, yes, we would, except for Chucker Creek. Now, certainly, if they're saying that we need to change, we could ask and look at changing everything at one time, as I believe you suggested. But I believe that was a great suggestion. We could set up a meeting with the school district. Whoever from council wants to come, we could certainly open that up and just have a meeting, hopefully later this week or early next week.
I'd just like to take an overall approach to it instead of piecemealing it, because again, it's so important when you move a precinct location, especially one of the largest in the city, if not the largest. Could we also look into this issue of whether or not the school board, as a public building, has an obligation to make it available to us?
Mr. Smith,
that's a legal issue that
they're not.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So what really?
They're not denying the use of the building. The only problem is when school is in session.
Well, right. Yes.
That's a catch-22.
Well, I would certainly like to vote on Saturday. I think there's probably a lot of people that would like to vote on a Saturday when school's not in session.
And that is not uncommon in South Carolina, according to Mr. Biedenbaugh. There are locations that systematically don't vote on Tuesday.
I mean, Can we look at doing Saturday?
Well, I question whether there's enough time to do all these things, according with this election coming up and the schedule that we have.
We could certainly bring that up with the school.
You could certainly bring it up, and maybe this could be done in 2010 at the general election.
We have plenty of time, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, we do?
I think we do.
Okay.
I mean,
who's going to meet with Mr. Cable?
I'd be glad to.
I'd be glad to.
Who's going to set it up?
That's me.
That's you. Okay. Would you get a notice to all the council and
sure.
And then we'll get a reply.
But
who wants to sit in?
The two, Dick Duar and Dick Smith, definitely would like to.
I'll meet with them too.
Because I'll try to match their schedules.
Okay.
The rest you can make it fine, but I'm going to try their schedules.
Beverly.
And Beverly Clyburn.
Okay.
Good.
And we'd have some results back that we could look at next meeting.
Right.
Maybe we can agree on something.
Right.
Well, I don't know if I support changing the election schedule. That's my concern here this time. But that's my personal thinking.
Well, but you'd be willing to consider it if the meeting indicated that it might be a decent idea?
Pardon me?
You'd be willing to reconsider if the meeting that we have with the school board indicated that it might be a good idea?
To change the schedule?
Yes.
No.
It would be a hard sell.
Saturday instead of Tuesday?
I'm saying no. Now, that's my quick response.
Okay.
You're looking, Leslie, mainly at the November date, the first Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Traditional date.
I mean, you're talking about ingrained in people's mind.
Right.
That date is, whether it's general election or not.
Yeah.
But I kind of think we ought to, my feeling, personal, is considered anything at this point. We've got to move in on this thing and make a decision. What can be done this year for this election, and then what conceivably can be done for 2010.
Correct.
And if the change is coming, maybe they all could be changed for, you know, early on, a lot of notification, what have you, for the 2010 election.
Well, I'm available. I serve at your request, and whatever I need to do, whatever we need to do, I'm ready to do it. So if you meeting with the school board, I'll be available.
Richard, thank you for what you do. You do it with great integrity. We know that.
Absolutely. You know what they say about the messenger, right, sometimes? You're not getting shot at.
No, I don't think that.
No, sir. You do a wonderful job.
Everybody is as satisfied as possible.
Yes, that's our goal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Our goal. Thank you so much.
Will Richard be present at this meeting? You'll be in attendance. Is that right? Good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Under new business, approval of public safety grant.
Yes, sir. Through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, better known as the stimulus bill, the city of Aiken will be receiving $62,119.82 for a public safety grant. There were a number of items that were not approved in the budget, mainly some guns, some Glock guns or pistols, depending which way you want to call it. These are 10 years old, starting to have some problems and have to have some replacement or some new pistols, some in-car cameras, some radar unit, emergency light bars, and tire deflating devices. They are listed for you. I bring those to you for your attention and approval of a Department of Justice grant for $62,119.82 to replace the antiquated law enforcement equipment as shown on the attached list.
Okay. Thank you.
I have just one question. If we accept this grant, do we also have to take a limit on the bonuses we get each year?
That's still under discussion with them.
Well, what bonuses? Okay, do we have a motion and second on this?
I move for approval, Mr. Mayor, that we accept the stimulus, the ERRA monies.
Okay, I'll second that. Any discussion? Any more discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Item 2, first reading of a lease agreement for city rental property. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. As was mentioned to you when we first, let me do this by title only. This is ordinance authorizing the city of Aiken to lease houses in Carlson Park pending their sale to nonprofit organizations. We're going to be buying approximately 20 homes. Some of those are occupied, and for the next month or two, until we get ready to start our revitalization, we will need to have a lease agreement. We've been working with the Aiken Housing Authority and CDIC, who we are going to be asking to be the property managers. They've been in this business working with these types of homes for a long time. Hopefully, we will not have to use this lease agreement at the other end once the homes are fixed up, but at least to get us through the first few months, we would like to go ahead and ask your approval to approve this lease agreement. We feel it's probably about 95% accurate, maybe 100%, but we're still having it being reviewed by the housing authority at the state level and by their group on the local level to make sure everything is proper in this lease agreement. So if you approve tonight, it'll be brought back to you at the second reading. If there are any changes, we'll let you know what those changes are at that meeting.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. A motion to approve the agreement for renting property by the City of Aiken with the CDIC to manage the properties.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3, setting the date for a joint meeting with the Planning Commission. Mr. LaDuke.
Yes, sir. We need to meet on our annual meeting with the Planning Commission. It's a little bit different this year. I'm very happy to see what they're doing. In the past, we have gone as a staff and given them what we felt were items that needed to be discussed based on comments and information from City Council during the past year. They've decided that they wanted to take the lead and to recommend to City Council the items that they feel needed to be reviewed during this next year with them. Many of them are, not many, but there's a few that are holdovers from the previous year, but they have a number of great items to discuss, and they would like to set a date to meet with you on either April 20th, April 23rd, or May 4th. May 4th, as I stated, was going to be our budget meeting. That may change depending on this next item, because I know that we have one council member that on our budget meeting would not be in town. So, but which of these three dates look good to you?
Okay, say again, please.
April 20th, 23rd, and May 4th. April 20th is a Monday. It's a week from now.
I can't be here.
April 23rd is a Thursday.
I'll be on volunteer lunch.
Could we do it?
This would be in the evening.
In the evening?
Like at 6?
6 or so
seven.
Is generally when we have it, 6, 7, depending on what, if council has it.
23rd, I'll be
usually lasts about an hour, hour and a half.
I can't meet on the 23rd in the evenings.
I can't. I'm on travel.
So, no for Leslie on the 23rd, no for Jane on the 20th, and no for Dick on the 4th.
And no for me on the 23rd, too, Mr. Robinson.
Okay, so we've got two no's on the 23rd.
I can meet either any of those days. You did say what? What time did you say? 7?
We would typically meet on those days at, and if I recall, like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6:30. But, you know.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I could meet.
I can do
that. All of those dates.
I can meet on the 20th, too.
So also. Who is missing then on the 20th?
Me.
Jane?
I don't know the schedule.
You can?
I don't know my schedule.
Oh, you don't?
Sorry.
Okay.
But I know you're on the May 4th, you told me no.
May 4th.
How about 23rd? Who's missing?
I'm missing.
You're
and
missing.
I'm missing.
And Leslie and Beverly.
Oh, okay. That's two missing there. So
on the 20th, any time during the day you're not available?
I'm in, out of town. I'm sorry.
Okay, so no time available.
You can't change that, Jane?
Clayton's running the Boston Marathon,
We're
going.
Good.
Got to. No, I can't change that.
Good for you.
Right. Okay, what does it leave it? I guess that's the best date, though, the 20th. Except you won't be here.
Well,
but Jane, the only one?
May 4th, Dick DeWire, I believe, is the only one that can't make it.
Oh, okay, so the 4th.
You will not hurt my feelings. I'll do the best I can to look at what's proposed ahead of time.
It'll still come back to you.
That's what I'm saying. At
as
City
an
Council.
Approval,
yeah.
As an agenda item.
And we'll have minutes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look, you have the some of the information of what they're talking about. It's a very, if you look at it, it's pretty well thought out.
I do have a couple of additions, however, that I'd like to see discussed there. Can I bring that up now?
Sure.
At the last BZA meeting, there was a request for a building in a limited professional zone, and currently the building size is 5,100 square feet, I believe, either on one floor or on multiple floors. And for this particular lot, the neighbors felt that that was an excessively large building for that size lot. And that it is going to demand, as the owner said, like 30 parking spaces or something, which is also a problem. And I wonder if we ought to look at the size of buildings in limited professional zones. I'm not saying we have to change it. I just think it, having been to that meeting, it looked like a subject that we might want to look at. And maybe, specify it needs, I don't know. It depends on the size of the lot, I think. It depends on a lot of things. But
this not only the size, but the parking area.
The parking area, yeah, it really does. And so it may be that, I just think that's something we ought to look at that has come up.
Again, limited professional lots are generally in, if not very close, to residential neighborhoods.
Correct. That's why. And that's why I think this is important.
Okay. And you said that you had two of them? Two items?
Oh, well, the other one is I just want us to look over that tree ordinance and be sure that there's not something we're missing as a result of some calls any of us have had. I think that's always a good thing to look at. Some of the things we might find aren't practical, and some we might think of that are practical. But I don't have anything.
We might want to exempt the city for any
future trimming of crepe myrtles. Never mind. I won't go there. But I don't have anything specific on that subject. The only thing I had specific was that question about the square footage.
Okay, I got those two down.
So we've set the 20th.
Okay. What's the date? Then the 20th?
May 20th, 6:30, 7:00. Do you rather meet earlier or later?
April 20th.
April 20th, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay.
April 20th.
At what time does the Planning Commission normally meet?
Planning Commission generally starts at 5:00.
Oh, man.
And we could meet right at 5 o'clock if you all don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
5 o'clock on the 20th.
Okay.
Okay, and while you got your calendars out, the next thing was the budget work session. Typically, that's been the first Monday in May. We generally meet for 2 or 3 hours. Since we've already met for 2 or 3 hours, it's probably in a shorter session than we normally would have. I do know that Dick has indicated to me that he is not able to meet on the 4th or any time thereafter. He can meet before the week before.
Before the 28th or after.
So as a suggestion, on our next council meeting is April 27th. We could meet sometime that afternoon. Now, I do have to tell you, like I said, we have two work session items already scheduled for that, time. So I do know we're going to be meeting 6:30 or 6:15 starting that. But we could have sandwiches here and meet like at 4 o'clock on the 27th if you like.
What are those two items? How much time do you think they're going to take?
The two items is on transparency and on allocation of funding for the atomic accommodation tax money, the Whitney Fields that I had mentioned. Okay. Probably half an hour there. The transparency, I really don't think it's going to take a lot of time. We got a pretty good suggestion how we think we could at least get started on it.
Okay, an hour, maybe?
Yeah. 15 minutes for that hour maximum for the two items. But if you want to meet like at 4 or 5 o'clock, I don't know how long you all want to spend on the budget. To me, the budget's fairly simple. There's no new positions, no new services, no increases in taxes or fees. So
we don't want to meet at 5, you say?
I mean, I could give you everything I need to give you in a half an hour on the budget, since we've already met.
How about a different date, looking at a different date? When did, like the 5th of May?
Dick is out of town that whole week.
The whole week? Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Your suggestion is to meet prior to the council meeting? Is that right?
We need to go ahead. This would be on the agenda for May 11th, the first reading. And if I recall correctly, Dick, you cannot meet the week before. So if it's going to be on the agenda, and it almost has to be to get it done in June, because we do not have a second meeting in May because of Memorial Day, we'd have to meet the week before. Now, the unfortunate thing the week before is at least two of us are going to be in Washington, D.C. on the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
What? How about the 24th of April? It's a Friday.
I was going to be out of town. I could always make other arrangements.
Oh, yeah, you can change that.
I will be out of town the 23rd and 24th.
Oh, thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
And the same place you are the next week.
Okay.
Why not the 27th at 5 o'clock?
That's fine.
I mean, if there's still questions and we're not done, we could always continue after the council meeting.
Okay. All right, 5
okay.
o'clock.
27th works fine.
And we'll have some food here. Since we're trying to pass the budget, I'll get special food.
With this budget, we better get peanut butter sandwiches or something.
Okay, everybody bring your own.
We can't afford the peanut butter. We don't want peanut butter.
Just put the cost on the
bring, bring your own. Okay, we've got that set, right?
5 o'clock on the 27th.
Okay,
okay, great.
Moving on now to petitions and requests. Item 1, approval of the new commemorative sign for Morgan Circle on Lawrence Street.
Yes, sir. We have a couple of individuals here who are making a request that the sign that was approved just a few years ago at Morgan Circle. Morgan Circle is Lawrence and Park, named after Mayor Morgan, who used to have a window overlooking that area and was very instrumental in the improvements that were made there. He was mayor back in 1899-1900. Well, it so happened that his great-granddaughter, back in the early 50s, made a lot of contributions also to the city, especially in trying to move us forward with historic preservation. Had a lengthy discussion with one of my favorite people, Nancy, out there.
Nancy Wiles.
He's talking about you.
Nancy.
Oh, good. So everything I said about Nancy Wiles is true.
that's right.
Has requested that we go ahead and modify the sign to include the statement that Ann Morgan Moore Colgan, dedicated preservationist and loyal friend to Aiken. So we're not having to add another location with another sign. They're just going to have to replace the sign face with a little larger sign face. We ask that the Historic Aiken Foundation review this. They have approved it, and they would be willing to pay for the money involved with the actual change. We then brought it to the Design Review Board. Since it is a new sign or a new sign face, they in turn approve that unanimously. So we have individuals here tonight that are seeking council's approval to modify the sign honoring Thomas Redmond Morgan at the Morgan Circle.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone who would like to speak?
I'm Ross Culligan. I reside at 208 South Boundary. I really don't have to add a whole lot to what Mr. LeDuc has already said. We'd just like to point out that the current sign is approximately 36 by 12. I think with the additional verbiage we're looking to include, it would increase the size of the sign to approximately 36 by 24, and I would use that as a maximum. And honestly, with the appearance of the current sign as opposed to what we're proposing, I think aesthetically the 36 by 24 looks more like a sign than it does a street sign. So I think we're looking for something that will look better in place and will also include the message that we would like to have at it. Important thing from our point of view was the noting that this was not something new that was about to be added that had never existed before, but rather we're simply looking for a minor modification. And if possible, we would reduce the 36 by 24 to 36 by 18, but honestly, I think with the verbiage we're looking for, we probably will be at the 24-inch dimension.
Right.
And the verbiage that you want to add would give... I'm here.
That confuses me every time.
would give some history, a little statement of what we're commemorating with the...
The statement is essentially, as Mr. LeDuc has included in his memo,
comments.
It would begin with the words "and," because we're not making a separate prohibition here, so we're adding it on to the words that are already there,
mm-hmm.
but including "and Morgan Moore Colgan, a dedicated preservationist and loyal friend."
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
It'd be the same color, same everything else.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
Move for second. Adoption of this, approval of this new commemorative. Well, actually, it's not a, when it's a new, it's just a change in the community.
Yeah, it's a modification. Yeah,
modification.
A little larger.
And sign from Morgan Circle on Lawrence Street.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. It passes unanimously. Okay, one more. Item 2, approval of sale of confiscated firearms. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. At the budget meeting we held last month, we talked about a number of suggestions that our employees came forward with as ways to raise revenue and also ways to save money. One of the revenue producers was they had been talking to several other departments throughout the state of South Carolina on what they did with confiscated weapons and found out that the vast majority of them sold them. They felt by selling these either individually or in lots, if you sold individually, you could probably get more money, but we're looking right now at selling them in lots, if council approves it, and that we could raise at least $15,000 to $20,000 and possibly much higher than that. So we have given you, if you do approve this, we would sell them under the following five requirements. The gun dealer must have a properly issued federal firearm license issued by the ATF. These weapons would only be sold to dealers who have a storefront. The gun dealers would have to have a proper city and state business license, you know, if required. Obviously, some may not be in the city. The gun dealer would need to have three or more employees, and all South Carolina dealers must have a current permit issued by SLED to sell handguns. So we are asking that you approve the sale of the quality weapons that we'd have under the five conditions listed above.
Now, these are criteria by SLED?
No, these are ones that we have come up with that in talking to other departments, they've used some of these, some have used more of these. We just thought that in surveying everybody, these were five very good things to make certain that they're not going to fall in the wrong hands.
Okay, and the reason for having three or more employees?
Pete? It's more of a legitimate business by having a certain number of employees.
We kind of checked with SLED and your bigger gun stores in the state of Georgia, North Carolina, usually have three or more employees. They have a better reputation, better record keeping. Just
Okay.
Your bigger shops and stuff.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Thank you. Okay, do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we approve the recommendation to sell weapons as outlined in the memo.
Okay, I'll second. Okay, Dick seconded.
May I ask a question before
Certainly.
We vote?
Sure.
What kind of guns are these?
We probably get 200 to 300 weapons that are confiscated a year. There are some weapons, we call them Saturday night specials, that are not worth very much, and we'd get rid of those. But through drug busts and other confiscation, there's all kinds of weapons we get. Some could be an antique, some could be a specialty type of a gun, and each one has different values. But it's just a variety of different...
Any automatic weapons and stuff like that?
Typically, we have not gotten those.
Well, pistols.
I mean, it's a possibility, but you're talking more like what... nomenclature of machine-type gun? No.
I'm talking about Uzis and...
Okay.
I don't know.
You're talking about the big heavy ones, then.
We would destroy those. This would be a strictly anti-gun.
Yeah. Pete, how do you destroy them?
We take them to state law enforcement, and they mail them out.
Oh, okay. Good.
Saturday night specials and any type of automatic weapon, we destroy them.
Yeah. Do you still have a display set up down there? I have it.
Yes.
You don't have it?
We got rid of it.
Oh,
okay.
That one there?
We got rid of it just for safety reasons.
Right. They used to have a display of some of the weapons they confiscated. You wouldn't believe some of the things that people use as weapons. I guess you would.
You have a question, I think.
May I just ask how vehicles would be determined?
Come on up here, if you would, please, and give us your name and address. And we appreciate your comments.
My name's Ron Pope. I'm actually a county resident, not a city resident.
That's okay.
I'm curious as to how the price would be determined, if it would be bid.
We would get at least eight gun stores, send them out the information on the weapons, they give us a bid, and then we take the highest price.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, Ron, thank you. Okay, anybody else want to speak? That's the end of our agenda, folks.
We have to vote.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'm gonna hope that they melt these down, and I'm not gonna vote to sell them to anybody else.
Okay, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Is that gonna be your motion?
No, somebody's already made a motion and second. You just need to call for the vote.
I seconded. Okay. Excuse me. All right. Any other discussion? If not, show hands, please. Okay. Approval. Against?
Five.
Negative?
Three.
5-2?
No.
Three.
Who's 4-3. Jane?
I voted to sell.
Against?
No. To sell.
Okay, it's 5-2.
5-2.
Okay. Okay, passes 5-2.
Yes. Beverly and Leslie opposed. Yeah. The rest were in favor.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir?
We had committee... I don't know where they came from, but we didn't bring commission nominations
didn't come up. Right.
It wasn't on the agenda, sorry.
They're both nominations that I would like to make of Tina McCarthy to the Accommodations Tax Committee.
All right.
And Joni Schisler to Community Development.
Okay. All right. They'll be on the agenda next meeting. Okay, I think it's all now, isn't it? Okay, we stand adjourned.
These are both from you.
I don't know.